This is Proper Sport. This is Proper Sport.
A brand new sports station for the digital age. You can listen to us in a few different ways. Via our website, www.propersport.uk. Download the Proper Sport app from either Google Play or the Apple App Store. Or you can listen to us via the TuneIn app. And if you've invested in an Amazon Alexa or Google Home, stream Proper Sport now.
Live, online, via the apps and on demand, this is Proper Sport. The Ollie Holmes Show on Proper Sport.
Play the music for as long as we want, and then people think, has he turned up yet? And the good news is, Ollie Holmes is here.
I am here, mate. How are we doing, Rich? How are we feeling?
Well, apprehensive. You know, usually when I'm sat this side of a radio studio, I've got fair control of what's going on. Today I've got no control on what you and your cohort here. I should ask Jay Hitchcock, surely you must be upset. You're on the show every week. He gets the, you know, this is the Oliver Holmes Show.
Mate.
Like some kind of sidekick.
We were just talking about this off air all day, pretty much every day we've been talking about this. I deserve some credibility here, don't I think?
Mate, I agree with this, right? I agreed with you. I know you had a pop at me the other day saying, why is it called the Ollie Holmes Show? But I didn't come up with a name.
He told me, you come up with some names, we'll put them in, it'll be good as gold. I come up with about 10 names, absolutely banging names, right? He comes back, he goes, mate, we're on this Tuesday. I say, sweet, get there. Welcome to the Ollie Holmes Show. Are you kidding?
Look, mate, we hadn't even decided on one of these names, but you're making me feel bad here, mate.
No, you should.
Well, yeah. So
you've undercut me on all my good names, and you've come out with Ollie Holmes Show.
I didn't put that one forward. We'll blame this on
Danny.
We'll
blame Danny. He's not here.
We'll blame Danny. Yeah, he's not here. Let's blame the person
who's
not here.
Who is Danny, actually?
Well, he's persona non grata now. He's not here, but he'll be back next week. That's the good news. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at Proper Sport, on Facebook as well. We are live in the studio until 8 o'clock this evening. I think we're supposed to talk about rugby league, but we're talking about all kinds of manner of topics. We've done a great show off the air in the office, which was full of superb things we can't say on the air, sadly. None of them libelous, but all quite amusing. I guess the problem is, if you want to change the show name now, we've already got your man who says the Ollie Holmes Show. We have to pay him more money to change the name.
Well,
it costs money if you want to rebrand this early.
Don't look at me for cash.
We can rebrand. It's show 3 here. We can rebrand. I'm happy to make it more of a shared title.
Put the question out there. We get a few listeners, actually. I got some pretty positive feedback.
That's always good.
Most of the week about the show. I'm still getting a bit of stick regarding the fish and chip comments I made in show number one, which I'd just like to point out. I've been sampling the fish and chips in my area since then. I went to Finn's in Castleford last night. Pretty good. What I will say is I'm slowly starting to see the comfort side of the sadistic idea that you put curry sauce with mushy peas. That's all I'll say on that.
You're still against this idea then, are you?
Mate, it's just a weird combo, isn't it?
Right, well, listen to this one then. I don't know if, like, you know his masseuse, Andy Senior, Dream.
Yeah.
Dream, a.k.a. Porky, a.k.a. Porkshire. He's got a fair few nicknames. He's as the fella. He went to Whitby at the weekend with a special lady he's just met.
Ooh!
I don't know if he's listening, but if he is, mate, I've just dobbed you in it. But yeah, so he's gone to Whitby for the day with this girl that he's met. This lovely lady, I'd imagine. I've never met her, but he told me that, oh, we had fish chips, it were lovely down at seafront, it says curry sauce, mushy peas, and I went, oh, hold on, right there, right, you're either having mushy peas or curry sauce.
Oh, is that the rule?
So which one, I've never mixed the two, I don't know what people's opinions are.
Oh, I've been mixing them.
Right, well, I don't mix them, and he's gone straight with a mix of, he says, well, we shared them, we ordered some mushy peas and some curry sauce, and we shared them. And now we're a bit disgusted at the thought of this.
What?
I mean, I know Super League, one of the main partners, is Mushy Peas, but I'm not a Mushy Pea fan.
Well, I put the curry sauce at one end, the Mushy Peas at the other. I get a little bit of ketchup in between, and they sort of just merge into the middle. It's like a car crash, really.
Like somebody's just thrown a load of pots of paint all over your food.
Yeah, but it's haddock.
So, I mean, there's a few different things going on here with fish and chips. We could be debating this on every show.
Do you want to start with? We might as well continue with fish and chips for the moment, since we started.
We've only got one more choice, don't we?
Come for the rugby league, stay for the fish and chips. You saw the fish and chip challenge we did here last year, didn't you?
No. Oh, no. Wait, where did you go down to? I have actually seen it.
I can't remember what it's called now. Apparently, it's changing hands.
Osset there, bus it back.
Yes.
For anybody that's listening, Jai's not really familiar with that saying.
Blanked me.
Yeah.
Have you not taught him Yorkshire yet?
He's got bits of Yorkshire in there, but he's never heard of Osset there, bus it back. Do you want me to explain this one to you?
Go on, mate, please. Right, so Osset, all ears.
Osset is a place in Wakefield.
Yeah.
Right? So Osset there, can you understand that bit?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Go to Osset.
No. Osset there, so get on an os and go there. Osset there.
Oh, yeah.
Bus it back.
So you're getting a horse there and a bus back.
Yeah.
Are you getting charged for both?
Is
this on the Oyster card?
It depends if you want to nick an horse or you want to pay for an horse to take you. Or...
Yeah, I'll laugh at that next one. I'll laugh at the next one.
It's
hilarious.
We should say on here, Jesus, on Copper Sport, we do not condone stealing horses. Just in case.
Yeah,
that's
disclaimer.
Disclaimer on that one.
You've got an exclusive interview on the show today. I mean, I don't know how you must have had to pull some strings because you've interviewed Greg Eden.
Yeah, well, obviously, I helped Greg out earlier in the week, and this little bit comes up in the interview as well. So I won't throw too many spoilers out there. But I helped Greg out with a certain task during the week. And it was a fair old task, and I won't be doing it again, put it that way. Oh. So I managed to just say to him, well, look, Greg, come on, we've got an interview here that we want to do for the show. Are you up for it or what? He says, yeah. So me and Jai went away, come up with a fair few questions, and did a little interview with Gregory, and I think it's gone pretty well.
I'm yet to hear the interview, and I'm pretty excited as well. So I've heard good things.
That's coming up later on the show at Proper Sport, if you want to tweet us, get involved on Facebook as well. Yorkshire Pros has already got involved. He says he'll do a jingle cheaper than the other fella. He doesn't know how much the other fella charges, so we can pretty much say anything.
Yeah, we can really wiggle that one, can't we?
In the back pocket, split 50-50.
Yeah.
I want to hear his voice first. I want a movie voice like, there was a boy. I want to hear that. I want him on the show.
What are you quoting here? Where's your mind going with
he
that
He met
one?
A girl. You know, that's how it goes. Oh, I'm assuming.
So Chris has already been on. Try Hoppies in Cass for fish and chips. There's another. Have you been there?
No, that's. Where's that?
I don't know. It's somewhere in Cass.
What was it called?
Hoppies.
Yeah. Hey, they come up with some good ones.
I don't even know where that one is in Cass.
I've been to Tim and Ellie's. I've been to Finn's. So Hoppies looks like it's next on the menu.
Which is the one at Carlton Lane? So one at the end of Carlton Lane.
That is Papa's, I think. Oh, is nice it Papa's then? Fish and chips?
The thing is, I say I'm trying to do this, but I don't really have a choice because my missus' favourite food is fish and chips, so it's once a month on the calendar.
Right. Once a month. Well, we've done this show three times and you've been twice.
Yeah, because let's not talk about that.
We've caught him out.
Are you allowed fish and chips?
Wouldn't be allowed fish and chips because I'm a bit on the winter warmer side.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the winter warmer side. But Jai's keeps him sending half decent nicks, so I guess it won't be too much of a problem.
Thanks, mate. Was that a compliment?
Yeah, that was one compliment of the month.
Appreciate
which
it.
I'm not going to start throwing more in like you're eating fish and chips.
Yeah, appreciate it. Well, right, let's talk some footy then.
Yeah, so let's. What do you want to talk? Do you want to go World Cup challenge. Go on then. What are you thinking?
Right, as I said last week, if any of our listeners were a betting man, and you took my little tip that I put in, you would have won. Melbourne to win by at least 12 is what I said, and I think Melbourne was the only side that put out a full strength team, and they just blitzed them, didn't they? And did you catch the game?
I did catch it because we were training on the morning, weren't we? But I've seen the highlights of it, and I've seen it's just, well, they were in touching distance for a fair while, weren't the Leeds, but you know, travelling over there, I don't know how much of an effect that's had on Leeds, having to travel over to Australia and that, but then you could say the same for when they used to come over here, couldn't you, really? So I mean that's just excuses and whatnot. But I mean, you've got across, come across one of the, well, the best team in the world there on their own patch, and for 40 minutes they've put up a good fight, but that second half they've just run away with it. I think Cameron Smith's had a stomp on game as he does every other game.
Billy Slater went off injured about half an hour in or something. Didn't return because they said they didn't want to risk him for round one. So this goes back to what I said last week, is are the Aussie teams taking it seriously? I think the side St. George put out was pretty under strength. I think James Graham played, 25 minutes, went off. The Rabbitohs put out basically a reserve grade side. Robbie Farah played half back, and they've still done a number on him. So I don't know.
Well, is this just showing how much of a gap is between NRL and Super League, or is it just them three teams? Well, it can't be, really.
Yeah. Well, St. George, where did St. George finish last year? About it? They finished down the ladder.
So St. George didn't finish up in top three then?
No, I don't think so.
I wasn't as taken as seriously as when we had the World Club Series, those two glorious years of that event.
Yeah, well, it's not really... I mean, if Leeds didn't make such an effort to go over there and actually play this World Cup challenge, it wouldn't have happened, would it? Because Melbourne said that they weren't coming over.
Yeah.
So if Leeds didn't put their hand up and say, all right, then I don't know if Leeds have funded this or RFL's had something to do with
George
it.
George finished ninth last year, so it'd be the equivalent of Melbourne playing, or Sydney Roosters playing, I don't know, Salford or Widnes or something.
Right. So they finished ninth and they didn't send out a
full strength side.
South were 12th. So there you go, there's the strength of those sides in the big friendlies.
Well, there's obviously too big of a gap between Australia and England on the rugby front, there, didn't there? But I mean, that gap wasn't shown, I don't believe, when we played them in World Cup final.
No.
So, I mean, that only finished, 6-0? So, I don't know. Is it going to carry on after seeing this? Is it being seen as a bit of a success or not? I don't know what.
Well, are Melbourne going to win the NRL this year?
I think they're going to be very hard to beat.
So if they do win the NRL this year, they aren't coming over here next year.
No, they're not going to come over again, are they?
Obviously, Castleford are going to win the grand final. That's what you're going to tell me.
And we'll go over.
You'll go over. There you go.
By hope to God.
If they don't want to play us, we'll still go over.
Yeah, we'll still go over. We'll play some League One side. We'll just go over just for an holiday.
Yeah.
Just for a training camp, like quote-unquote training camp. I guess we'll see how it unfolds at the end of next year then, doesn't it? See if I think that'll give you a proper indicator of how seriously these, you know, NRL and Aussie teams really want to take.
It needs to be done at a different time. I think that's St. George's first game, Melbourne's second game, and I think it needs to be at least done during the season for the NRL, and more during the season for us. If that's the way it's going to have to be anyway. But it's not taken seriously, and they still beat us. Well, we beat you. I've been here too long. I've been here too long.
You can pick your own side, can't you?
Yeah,
you can have whichever side you want.
Yeah,
it's easy enough for you.
There's somebody here. Robert Gummerson has said NRL do not respect the World Cup Challenge.
And no, I agree.
Think,
I agree. They've listed them, two of them games in their trial period. They've listed them as a trial game. So, and they've put out not a full strength team.
I think Gus Gold was slightly surprised some of the Leeds Rhinos players could actually play rugby league. I don't know if...
Yeah.
Well, what's going on there?
It was saying... every time they did something, he was like, oh, well, and that's a really good pass,
like,
that
pass
one.
Or pass it right.
Yeah.
Right, so it was really undermining everything that any British team did over
basically
there.
He just a bit over emphasises some of the things they were doing.
I kind of like the fact though when you go over and you see test sides going over, like whether it be international or domestic, but you see if we went over to Australia, the Aussie press sort of picking apart, you know, the teams going over. I quite like that, because then it brings like this sort of fun and sort of nasty side out in the game, but it makes the whole affair a lot better, doesn't it? It makes it a bit more entertaining. There's a bit of spice in there. Obviously, it'll get teams riled up. It'll get the English riled up. And that doesn't really bother me, if I'm honest. It's a bit... But I don't know, I like it because it's always going to make it for a tasty affair, I think. Mm. But obviously, we want, they wouldn't have heard that playing. But it'd have been nice for it to come out and impress a bit before and really get a bit of spice into the game. Then it might have meant a bit more. Maybe that's the way to go about it. Just get the media just absolutely rip into foreign teams. And then let's really see a battle out there.
Yeah. We all hate the Aussies.
We all hate the Aussies.
Hey, hey, the England coach should come out and say, we hate the... Oh, we can't really.
Not for the next 2 years, anyway.
Yeah, so Wayne Bennett's got the job for the next 2 years.
Well, he's one of the best coaches in the world, isn't he? That's my opinion. Well, obviously, you guys might feel different with him not being British. That's the main talking point, isn't it? That an Aussie coach is controlling a British team.
Well, you can. There's a couple of ways to look at it, and you can look at it as if an Aussie coach has got it and it's not right, because if he ever he isn't going to put out or put in any plan that's ever going to jeopardise an England performance against an Aussie team or anybody else for that matter, is he really? Like you said there, he's classed as a super coach, and from what you hear from anybody that's come out of that England camp about Wayne Bennett, a lot of people sing his praises. I ain't heard many bad words said about him. So, and I heard Jamie Peacock speaking in press today about how he's such a good bloke and lads love playing for him and they want to play the best out of him, and all that needs to change for England to sort of take the next step is the English players sort of getting used to building a bit more pressure rather than trying to go for the kill on the first sets and things like that. So I mean, there's always good, there's, you know, there's maximum amount of good, you know, reviews coming out of there for him staying on. So I mean, fair play.
If England won that game 6-0 instead of losing it 6-0, and it was a good all round performance, and Bateman played well, and so to speak, all that stuff, would there still be a talking point whether his decisions were right or wrong? There wouldn't be, would there? Everyone would be like, oh, that's a great decision. No one would have thought about that decision, but because they've lost 6-0, which is nothing, everyone's like, oh, that was the worst decision ever. You know, like, it would be, obviously it'd be great to get a British coach, I say, like Paley or whatever, and see England play how Cass played this season, and or last season, sorry. That would be awesome, but you know, you can't really knock the bloke. He's a class coach, isn't he? 6-0 against the Aussies was, I think, a pretty good
over in Australia as well. Yeah. Like, I mean,
having had to fly from New Zealand, having played the semi final over there.
Yeah, I mean, they did a fair bit of travelling around Southern Hemisphere, didn't they? Mm. Maybe that's something to look at, but you know, we're just nitpicking there, aren't we? So I don't think it's a bad decision. I mean, he's obviously put in some sort of, you know, bedding, you know, pillars in there of what he expects as an England team, and what, you know, what he wants to get out of being an England coach. So his sort of legacy's already been put down in there, and he wants to carry that on for the next 2 years against when we play Kiwis at the end of this year.
Yeah, is there any point then giving him a 2 year contract when the World Cup's in 4 years or 3 years time?
Well, it should have been another year contract then, surely, until end of this sort of sort of series with New Zealand, and then reassess it after that. Yeah, you got a fair point there.
When is this New Zealand
end of this year? Isn't it?
Tickets are on sale now.
Straight away, but it's straight away, straight after the season ends.
Yeah.
Jeez, they don't get a break, do they?
Hull, Leeds, and Liverpool, I think, the test matches.
Yeah. So that's the end of this year. So why? What's after the agenda on that? Is there nothing planned international?
Apparently, is a Great Britain tour.
And they said that if there is anything Great Britain, he's got control of that, hasn't he?
Yeah, which. I'll ask you two. Is there anyone who's not playing for England who's saying playing for Wales and Ireland and Scotland who would get in the Great Britain team over anyone English?
Hold on a second. Great Britain is what?
England. Well, let me get this right. Great Britain and Ireland for rugby purposes, because it gets confusing. We don't want to get into the politics of these islands.
No.
They're very confusing. But rugby players who can play for England, Scotland, Wales or Ireland, because Ireland plays as one nation in rugby, can play for the Great Britain and Ireland Lions in rugby league.
So Ireland, Scotland, Wales are going to they're going to add to the England squad.
Yeah.
Maybe one guy.
Who?
Well, I don't know. Maybe no one. They're not going to add anyone, are they?
It's like
I don't think they will.
If it was a Great Britain football team, it would be the England team plus Gareth Bale.
Okay, I watched Ireland and I watched Wales, and nothing personal. I don't know them, but I think it was like 70-0 to like Papua New Guinea or something.
Yeah, I mean, Wales took a bit of a tonking over there, didn't they? I think Ireland put up a fair decent fight.
They didn't lose, did they, and got knocked out.
So I mean, that didn't obviously bode well for them, because it was just a bit stupid how it all panned out for Ireland. But Ireland, Ireland had a fair dig of it in that World Cup. But whether you'd take any of them players, I'd have to see a list of players. It's hard to think off top of my head.
Surely the Irish and Scottish players that are playing with Ireland and Scotland are only playing there because they have British in them and they couldn't make the British team.
Met the England team.
I mean, yeah. Well, yeah.
Or Australian.
Oh, Australian.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get the World Cup squads up to...
surely that's the case, right? There's no way that one of them has gone, no, I'm going to pass on England and play for Wales.
Well, I mean, there's not really much... It's not a money decision, is it? Because speaking to Ryan Sheridan, our Ireland coach, they got 25 or 30 Aussie dollars a day to live off. And obviously the bonuses and that, they didn't really get any. So it's cost them money to go over and play for the country for a World Cup. So I don't think it'd be a money decision to choose to play for another country.
Well, I've got the Scotland squad up in front of us. And right. So a couple of Huddersfield players, St Helens, Wigan, but mainly players in the Championship and France, and a couple of NRLers who...
Yeah, so you've got James Bell, who's New Zealand, Jared Anderson. I'm guessing all these ones from Lachlan Stein, have you heard of him?
No.
So these are all pretty much under strength. You know, in NRL, but
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying there's no one from them teams that are going to make the England team. And if there was, they would already be playing for England because they've had some British ancestry in them. Do you know what I mean? So I just think the whole thing calling it a Great Britain tour, let me just send the England team.
Well, I guess Kyle Lamar from Saints, but I guess we're blessed to be forwards, aren't we?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They're all the big pigs, eh? They come from over here.
So I don't know. We just have to. I would like to see the Great Britain jersey back. Like, I can remember sitting at home when I was a kid and watching Great Britain team when they played Australia, and it were Leon Price and Lee Gilmore, and it was that era and team, and they went over and they beat them, didn't they, at their place? And it was pretty good to watch. So whether that playing for Great Britain and give it that much more sort of pride or passion or anything like that, but I don't know. Give it a bit of a change, really, wouldn't it, from watching England go over?
It's a good point, though, eh? You are blessed with all the forwards. Why is that? It's because your winters last 9 months and the comfort food's too good.
That's
come
exactly what it is.
Again, though, aren't we?
Yeah, well, this is my excuse. Winter's too long, so I've tried and fatten myself up to deal with this cold weather.
See, would you rather play in winter over here? Go back to the old days?
No way. We spoke about that last week for a little bit, didn't we?
Oh, we're playing in winter now.
Have you seen next week? Have you seen the forecast next week?
I was at Saints. I was at Saints following you guys. I was sat in the crowd. I was bloody freezing. I didn't.
That was bad. I mean, our training pitch at the minute, and this is no dig at our groundsman whatsoever, because our groundsman works his absolute
groundsman of the year.
Off. Yeah, he got groundsman of the year actually. I don't even think that's just about rugby. I think that's like
everyone.
Yeah, but he works his absolute nuts off on the ground and the pitches, and you should see the state of our training pitch. It is like running around in a cow field.
There's a free mud bath after the game.
It's bad. It is bad. You're just wheel spinning everywhere. So, I mean, that is, to me, winter rugby. So we are now experiencing a winter rugby season so far.
Mate, I've been here that long, 3 years, and I'm sitting here praying when I look at the weather for tens. I'm praying for tens. I used to see tens back home and go, oh, that's the worst day of my life. Now I'm praying for them. Next week is meant to be about -3, I think.
Oh,
yeah, we got highs of 2 next week. We do the weather here on the Oggy Home Show as well.
But yeah, so I definitely won't want to go back to winter rugby.
Are you third in the Albert Goldthorpe medal table?
I don't know. Apparently, Ant says I am third. Yes.
What
is that for, Cass? Or
I don't know. I'll go get the paper when we're.
You must be reading it upside down.
Well, if they're reading it upside down, I'd be top one.
Because they're going to rename that.
Look at his face.
I think she's going to rename that.
No. What? She should be reading. She's reading from the bottom. What, so you're third last. You're third last.
Yeah, but it only shows you 1, 2, 3.
No, oh, we didn't this is far.
I don't know. I'm
not again.
If I am.
Not again.
They are going to rename it the Luke Gayle Medal, I think.
Yeah, has he done 3 years in a row now?
Something like that. Yeah, I think he gets to.
He still has
coin for Mad Bundy for him.
He promises it every year, doesn't
every
he?
Every year he promises.
He says, "Oh, definitely this year is the year, boys. I want to give it." He thanks the boys. Everything he's won, he goes, "I couldn't have done it without yous." Well, where I'm sitting at a bar and I'm paying for my own beers, mate. I'm paying for my own beers.
I think even Michael Shenton paid for some beers for lads on one of Mad Mondays on behalf of Gailey, and he hasn't even got that money back yet. And I'm sure that was 2 years ago. I don't know if he's paid him back
yet.
He's
quickly becoming one of the tightest, isn't he?
He's bad. He's bad.
But in saying that, actually, he did shout me a beer on the weekend. We had a, another good thing. Friday night, was it?
Yeah.
Friday night, who organised it?
It's the ex-players or current, ex and current players association, which is separate from the club. It's a separate run organisation, so it's got nothing to do with the club. But all your ex-players, as soon as you play for Cass, no matter how many games you play, you are part of this members club. Whether you like it or not, you become part of this members club. And they have a big do at end of year. They invite all ex-players, all current players and ex-players, and everybody turns up, and they have a big booze up in this a pub in Cass. And because we were the first team to win the league yes, first ever Cass team to win the league, they saw it fit to invite us down for a free bar.
Wow. Yeah, and now they're chasing up Junior Moores for 50 Southern Comforts. No, mate, it was a good night, wasn't it? I think they sort of split the players up on certain tables and whatnot, but I had a player, Bill Gumby, on my table. I think he's the oldest living Cass player. I think he's 89, is he?
I think we've worked it out earlier. 89.
Do we say 89? So yeah, just crazy. I was saying during the night, you don't know who you're sitting with. You don't know if you're sitting next to a player that's played, you know, 300-400 games for Cass, and that was pretty much the whole situation the whole night. But it was awesome, wasn't it? We had a comedian and had some like legends of the game there.
Yeah, well, as you sort of, the calibre of players that were there is, you know, your highest calibre player there, in my opinion, is Malcolm Reilly. I think he's done some things in the game that not many people have done. I think he's won grand finals on both sets of the MSFA as a player and a coach, which is an unbelievable achievement. I think he's to be that respected as well on both sides of the MSFA is unbelievable. So you have people like Malcolm Reilly, Alan Hardesty, people won the Challenge Cup in 86, Tony Marchant. We'll come on to him a bit later because he's a bit of a nut. So you had people there like that, like you said, Jai said, Bill Gumby, who played between 1951 and 1953.
You're good with this stuff, aren't
good
you?
Good memory, aren't we? We've done research this week, you see. So yeah, we're all there, we're all sort of chatting, we're having a beer together, comedian on, pie and peas and all whatnot. And you know, Paul is massive on history of the club and stuff like that, and really linking us to the history of what's gone on and how proud it is to be a Cass player and everything like that. And it was just a great night and something that, like, not a lot of ex-players, like young ex-players, I think, go to that event at the end of the year. But I think having that then, what we had on Friday, will encourage, I think I'll definitely try and make one in.
Yeah, Andy Lynch was there as well. I'm not sure what year he played in between.
I think he played from 86 to... Yeah, 2017.
Just escapes me. But yeah, there was a guy on my table that had six hip replacements, and he was still moving better than Noggy. So, mate, he was doing well.
No, that were on one hip. He had six on one hip.
Three on the side. Does that work? Do you only have one hip, or do you have two?
Well, you have two hips.
Do you?
Well, you have a hip bone, but you have two hip joints. What do you think femur goes into?
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just saying, is it called? You don't call it your left hip, do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, if you were having a problem there, what would you
don't
say?
Don't touch
that
me
is?
There ever again.
People can see this on camera. You
know?
Yeah.
Jeez, you're getting done here. You're getting done.
So, would you call
workplace harassment? I've always wanted to drink a coffee on air. Makes you feel more professional. Zoom in on that wink.
So we'll come back to Tony Marchant on that fact. Right?
Are you going
to
get him in as a guest in the future?
Well, I think we're going to get him in. I think we're going to get him in because
now you've just taken over. You're booking your own guests and everything.
Yeah, we've got a few bits and.
We're going to get one. We're going to try and get a little an interview or a guest each week. We're going to shock the listeners. We're coming for these other stations. You know what I mean? Well,
See, the thing is, as a trained professional broadcaster, I get very annoyed by these people just walk into this business who have no training whatsoever. We're going to have to get you to learn how to do this.
Yeah.
So then you do everything on your own.
Oh, then you can really let us let loose here. Yeah. Are you sure that's a safe idea, though?
Well, I don't know, but it was,
as long as you're not liable for it,
as
then
long as I'm not liable,
on.
Yeah, I'm just worried if you say anything, I might get a sack. And that's, you know, I need the money. you've got other jobs to go to. You know, this is.
We'll keep you safe, mate.
Someone pay the insurance, and you pad this room up, and let's go. What can you say?
So yeah, back to Tony March, and just keep coming off subject. Oh,
what a legend!
So go on, Jay. I'll let you.
Tony's pulled me aside. I didn't know him before this. He said, "Jai, come over here." I said, "Oh, Jesus, what have I done?" Anyway, he pulls me in. He says, "Mate." You know, I was talking to Powley and Ryan Sheridan and that, and mate, they said you're a bit of a conspiracy nut. I said, "Well, mate, I love it." And he goes, "Oh, let's go, mate." We sat on a table and just talked conspiracies for about a good 15-20 minutes. Every time I seen him during the night, it was like, "Hey," we talked all sorts of stuff, mate. We talked 9/11. We talked flat Earth.
Now Tony's
flat earther.
He believes the Earth is flat.
You know, you see, some people would say that they wouldn't be surprised that people in Castleford think this way. I wouldn't say that, because I'm a neutral. But some people would say that.
I've just moved to Castle. I've added that percentage. Yeah. I'm not quite there on the flat Earth theory, but the other ones, I'm definitely there. We're going to have to get him on the show and seriously bring this up, because it's quality.
Well, I tell you, that's the kind of thing people would listen to.
Yeah.
Big radio stations across the world do things about conspiracy theories. So
exactly.
You're hitting on the right kind of market. That and ghosts. You know anyone with ghost stories?
Well, I believe I've seen a ghost. I don't know.
You might have done.
I might have done, yeah. I don't know if I quite believe it. When I was a young kid, I felt like I saw one behind a gravestone in a graveyard. As cliche as that might sound.
Can you just tell me,
if I had some spooky music, this would be perfect.
Yeah. What are you doing in a graveyard as a kid?
No, I wasn't like a young kid. I was like 13, 14.
What are you doing? What are you doing there?
Well, when we were kids back then, we used to knock about round streets, like just terrorising the folk of Norman.
You could... I hope the police are listening to this, because I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to do that.
What? It's a graveyard. You can walk through it. It's a cut, like...
A bit weird.
Cut route.
It's a bit weird, though. If you're not visiting someone there, you shouldn't be there.
Well, it's a cut. You walk through it to get through to the other side of, like, where you're trying to get to.
Bring up the maps. Show us this path you're walking.
I've got some spooky music in the background now. So if you ever want to make up some ghost stories or anything,
I've got a Paul Wood story.
Does that need
not
ghost
quite goat? No, it's not. Maybe at the end. Maybe at the end. Oh. Yeah, I'll give it to you though.
I'll put it down for a minute.
All right, all right. Are we going ghost music first?
I can put the music back.
Go
on.
Is it ghosty?
It's spooky.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Listen to this. So, if you don't know who Paul Wood is, he's the self-proclaimed tough man of rugby league for one, losing one of Santa's little helpers during a match and continuing to play, and two, I think that's a pretty false title, isn't it? Because I remember him getting towed up by an outside back in a Cass game, one Ryan McGoldrick. Was it not?
Yeah, well, Goldie tiled him up. Yeah,
what's he, 83 kilos?
At the time, it was probably when Goldie were at his leanest. He'd have maybe been under 90 kilos.
Yeah, so your tough man title's gone there. Sorry, mate. Anyway, you mentioned to me last week about this story, so I thought I'd bring it up. I've just moved to Featherston. Woody's obviously playing there as well. He was hardly playing, but he was playing. Anyway, we've gone out in a night out, and I've got back, and I don't know where Woody was. He's lost his wallet out, and he's come back, and I woke up the next morning, and he says to me, "Mate, I lost my wallet out. I couldn't find anything. I was rummaging through the house. I couldn't find any money." I was like, "You're not going to find any money in my house." Anyway, he said, "Mate, I went into your cupboard." And in my cupboard, I've got a little cookie, like a little vase, like a little cookie jar sort of thing where I collect coins. Most people do, don't they?
Yeah,
coin jar.
Yeah.
For like end
just
of year.
Like loose change.
Well, not really. It's my livelihood, this. Anyway, so he's rummaged through
me. I hope HMRC aren't listening.
He's rummaged through my cupboard, and he couldn't pay for the taxi because he's got left his wallet out. And he's grabbed me vase, grabbed me a cookie jar full of coins, and offered it up to the taxi driver in payment, right? So he said, "You didn't need that, did ya?" I said, "Mate, there was 150 quid in there." "And what have you done?" And mate, the cabbie took the vase as well. The cabbie took me cookie jar. And the 150...
Much?
Mate, the cab ride was 15 quid. Max.
So you
stick to your rugby AM over there, Woody, man.
You know you're not allowed to swear on the radio.
No, oi, oi.
Oh, well, did he ever pay you back then?
No, did he? Oh, Please. No. You never pay me back. Pay your debts. Pay your debts, Paul. If you're listening.
Oh, there you go. There, just
we should give him the right to reply. So if he does want to get in touch with us, we...
Yeah, look, if he wants to phone in and tell a story, vice versa, we'd be very, very eager to hear what he can come up with.
Nothing about me is good for radio.
I think we've now started the conspiracy series on Facebook.
Have we?
Like,
Yeah. Is there any other? Is there any others?
Yeah, John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Talked about the Parliament, how many deaths. Jim Fetzer on 9/11.
Mate, the 9/11 one is the best. If you're in a bit of zeitgeist like me, 9/11 conspiracy, it's hard to ignore. That's all I'm saying.
Go on, then. What's your points on it, then?
Can we touch on points like that?
Depends on where you're going with
it. So I'm going straight to the depths. I don't think you can. Let's move on, Oggy. We've got a lawsuit waiting.
Do that as a special in the future.
Yeah, we'll make it a conspiracy theory special where we could just really let loose.
Jay's been on Facebook. Alan Rose has had four hip replacements.
Well, I'm sure he said six at the weekend. He might have had another two since last time.
That might have been, because it was Powley's story, wasn't it, about his hip replacement, so he might have put a bit of VAT on that story.
Yeah, probably.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah, well, it makes
sense. I may not have put a little bit of VAT on the Paul Wood story I just told.
So he said 150 quid being in that jar. There were actually 15 quid.
I like to make myself, I'm a good saver.
All those pennies and twos.
There was some brass.
Can you imagine being that cab driver, though, like that taxi driver, and he's just handed him over this like
cookie
jar?
It's not going to count, is it? It's not going to count.
Can you imagine him looking at all the two pences and one pence is just going?
He just accepted it on first look.
You'd have to. Can you imagine being sat there? He'd be sat there just trying to count up from that. He'd have fell asleep in taxi.
You know, when someone says to you, if you can guess the amount of coins in this jar, you can have it. He basically did that, and this guy just went, yeah, that seems fair. He just drove off.
I don't want to say you've said the trigger words, but Wayne Godwin started following us on Twitter.
Oh!
If he's listening, you might be in trouble.
Wagger. I hope he is.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just...
We're coming for you. We're only small time now, but we are coming. Nah, they're good blokes, aren't they?
We're on the internet. We're available everywhere on Facebook. Probably not in North Korea, as we always say, but apart from North Korea. Which reminds me, we're going to talk about Korea as we go off on another tangent. The Winter Olympics is on at the minute. Have you watched any of it?
Bits and bats of it, yeah. not so much.
I think I caught the cheer team or something coming in, and they look like they were in body bags. They rug up over there, don't they?
It's like -20 or something over there.
Yeah, but
it's a bit colder than Cass at the minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be moaning about 2 degrees and praying for 10 degrees over there. They're praying for -10 over there.
It's what it is.
But it is a Winter Olympics, so get used to it.
Although the Australians are quite good at it, which is slightly disconcerting. You think at least the Winter Olympics, I know we're rubbish at it, but you think the Aussies would be.
What of Great Britain? Have we won one gold medal, haven't we? So far.
Yeah, in the skeleton. Yeah, I fancy doing that, going down a hill face
skeleton
first.
Skeleton bobsled. Have you seen it?
Jamaican bobsled team. Oh, yeah.
Skeleton bob, where they actually lay on that like little board. Yeah. And just...
Who's thought of that?
It's pretty intense.
There's some pretty crazy... Who you got at the Winter Olympics?
Oh, I don't know any names.
Well, Lizzie Yarnold was one who won the skeleton.
Right.
She was the winner.
She won?
She won, yeah.
In English?
Yeah. We're good at skeleton. I'm trying to find out who it was invented by. It appeared first in Switzerland in 1928.
There you go.
Can you imagine?
Invented by the Swiss.
Can you imagine that technology that they had in 1928 to go down a bob shoe? Is that what they're called? Is it a bob shoe?
Yeah. Well, I think so. Yeah.
That's just a good guess. If that is
the first 3,000 people that went down can't talk about it because they're toast. They're brown bread.
I'm going to say because they must have been going down on what would have used to have been a bit of wood with some skis on it.
Yeah, if you want to show me a Winter Olympics, show me the test dummies of this sport when it first opened. That's what I want to see.
I was wrong, by the way. We're above the Australians in the medal table.
Are we?
It's even better. Yeah, we've got 4 medals and the Aussies have got 3.
Yeah, so that's because Stephen Bradbury's he's not in it no more. Do you remember Stephen Bradbury?
Was that like the greatest day in Australian sport in history?
Mate, have you heard it with Titanic music? For the listeners that don't know who Stephen Bradbury is, he's a ice skater. I don't know what distance he was running because I didn't watch the Winter Olympics. I just watched the highlights and they were good. Anyway, so he's scraped in the final, right? By the skin of his teeth, and he's versing these guys from China and all these guys with super skates on and just all this new technology that Chinese beat us with every year. But anyway, he's dead last, coming around the home turn, The guy in front slips over. He takes out the second guy. Second guy takes out the third guy. They all slide into the wall, and Bradbury sails round in glorious victory.
I have seen it.
If you haven't seen it, go watch it and try and get the one with the Titanic music, because it's, mate, it's class. He still almost loses, even though these guys flew into the barrier. Like, that's how far behind he is. Yeah.
And he's got a gold medal to his name.
Gold, mate. He was on all the TV shows. He was the master. That's dying down now. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing with himself. He's
living off that memory, probably.
Probably a statue of him somewhere.
It has to be. Yeah. It has to be.
No. Where's the coldest place in Australia? I've never been. I've only seen it on TV.
Australia gets cold. Yeah. You want to know a little fact? Australia gets more snow than the Swiss Alps. Not many people think that, right?
I didn't even think there was snow in Australia.
Yes, we've got three major snow fields.
All you Aussies that come over, when it first snows over here, when they first come over, they're like, that's the first time I've seen snow.
Yeah, because we're not from the parts of snow. I'm absolutely cooking on the beach.
Where is the snow bit then? Where is it?
Down south though.
Is that where
Canberra.
No one lives?
Down Canberra. No, people live there. You've got Parish of Blue. What are the other snow fields called? Threadbow. Something else. It's, I don't know. I've been to a couple. Yeah, down south of Sydney. Freezing. Just down Canberra way, it gets freezing. Like, I'm talking minus three.
I'd have expected it to be... Oh, no, it can't be more. Yeah, it's got to be south.
Because you only hear about Sydney, and all Brits only go to Perth. And just on that, why do you do that? It's because it's the closest place.
Is there nothing
Perth's Western Australia. I'm the furthest away from Perth you can be on the easterly point where I'm from. But they never go Sydney, Melbourne, Gold Coast. There's luxury over there. Quality. They stick to Perth.
So
what's
the equivalent in the UK of Perth? Where would it be?
Be careful.
Did you see me just wind up then?
Yeah. That was my reel off about 14 different locations.
Where's that book I was reading? Where's Perth equivalent to? I don't know. Bradford?
Oh. It's a bit close to home, that, mate.
Can I just say, on behalf of Proper Sport, the home of Bradford Bulls Live Games,
well, actually,
that we do not endorse your
Yeah, one of my best mates is Dane Chisholm, who's the godfather of my son, actually. I was with him today playing a bit of chip and putt-putt golf, which I won.
So anybody else who's been to the driving range...
Well, yeah, I went to the driving range. Yeah, I was playing a bit of chip, so I thought I'd get one back on him. Oh, well.
Did you see his prediction, by the way, for the score at the weekend? He got it spot on.
Yeah, he nailed it, didn't he?
20, yeah.
Yeah.
How did he do that?
I don't know. I actually caught the last 5-6 minutes of a game. I thought York were robbed. That's my opinion.
Well, I mean, let's talk about this York and York-Bradford game. The attendance... For a League One game, it was 4,200 and somewhat, wasn't it? Those lines. 4,200 for a League One opening game in York, which is not really known for its rugby league history, or that I know of anyway.
Well, it's been there for hundreds of years, but they've been in
150
the doldrums.
Years, actually.
Yeah, they've been in the doldrums for a while.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a fair effort. So whoever's working behind the scenes at York... pushing the media, pushing all what advertising and everything like that, and sponsors.
Are you praising York here?
Yeah,
for
I'm praising York.
I think it was mostly Bradford supporters.
No, apparently there's plenty from York as well.
Was it?
Yeah. So, I mean, either way though, 4,000 at York, I think that's pretty... I mean, a lot of Super League clubs would be happy with that attendance.
Mate, it's massive for League One. I think, what are some of the lower Super League sides get?
Well,
nowhere
I think
near
like
that.
Salford like tipping 1,000. Around 2,000, don't they? Something like that, I think.
Huddersfield don't
Wakey
get many.
I think Scully had a pop at Wakey last week saying that nobody's turning out to that game.
Yeah,
I think.
The crowd for the Wakefield game was about the same as the York-Bradford game. Wakefield-Salford the other week.
Yeah. So, I mean, for a League One game, I think that's pretty phenomenal. So whoever's working behind the scenes at York, somebody's obviously doing something right. And it's about time somebody started doing something right in them lower leagues. And
they put on a show for him too,
yeah,
didn't they?
I mean, it was a great game. It's gone right down to wire.
They'll definitely robbed York though. Did you watch the game?
I saw the end of it. Yes.
You see that? I think he knocked him off the ball there and put the ball down. But they said line drop out. He grounded it first, which I don't know. The real spectacle though was ex Castleford player Ash Robson wearing 3-quarter tights, which is social suicide as far as I'm concerned.
So I don't know if anybody else noticed this. Ash Robson, fullback. Did he play fullback?
Yeah, he tried to.
So he's wore the longest pair of what can only be described What is sawn off bottom of a wetsuit and wore these whilst playing a professional game of rugby league. It is absolutely shocking. And he rates himself to Zash as well. He reckons he's a good looking lad.
Yeah, he got a few tattoos. And he thinks he's a good sort.
You've all got tattoos though.
Yeah, but he's got them up around his neck.
Has he got a good one?
He's got a tattoo on the back of his head.
He has actually, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's got some bad tattoos, but nothing as bad as them cycling shorts that he had on. I didn't know everyone was going to take Tour de France after he'd finished that game.
Yeah, he jumped straight on his bike, apparently.
So, Ash, if you're listening, mate, sort it out, because it's unacceptable behaviour.
Yeah. Bad rugby league fashions. When former Castleford great Tony Kemp took over as Wakefield coach in 2000... he used to walk up and down the touchline wearing those cut-off three-quarter-length tracksuit bottoms.
Wow.
Cut-off, self-cut.
Well, I don't think they were cut-off, but, at that moment I thought, this man's not going to be a good coach. And he wasn't, and he got sacked.
Did he have long socks on as well? Like, just white socks, you know, just like your normal long white socks. You could have just maybe seen like an inch of skin in between the end of his three-quarters and the top of his sock.
I don't want to slander him on air by saying he did wear the socks as well. I mean,
You just said he was the worst coach.
He was one of the worst coaches.
Saying he's the worst coach is a bit worse than ripping apart his dress sense.
Yeah. he was a coach at Wakefield when the players weren't being paid.
What would you rather
that was a hamstring.
What would you rather be called? Would you rather be called your dress sense is no good, or you're the worst at what you did?
I think I'd rather have been... I don't know. Yeah, I'd rather have been dressed since ripped to pieces rather than be...
Well, you're both.
if Tony Kemp's listening, we apologise to him and Paul Wood.
Oh, it's all in good fun.
No, we apologise to you, Tony. Paul, we do not apologise to you.
I've got a family situation. My nephew, Henry, he's... I don't know how old he is. Six or seven, I can't remember. You can never remember.
No, right? Yeah. 2, 4, 7.
He's grown up as a Bradford fan. Right.
Ooh, but tough
then,
times.
Because they've gone a bit rubbish. Although they're good now again, of course. He switched to Castleford because he lives near Cass.
Right.
But then he also wants to support Wakefield because they've been good as well. So I needed to convince him that. I'd obviously prefer him to go down at Bellevue, but you convince him that he should become
a Cass fan.
Tiger. Yeah.
So he's.
Are you going to do a sort of Luther King speech here? Are you going
to
really give
me... Do you really want me to try and dig some out of my soul here?
He's got a sister called Phoebe and a brother called Hugo. But he's daft. He'll follow anyone. So he's probably going to be...
Right, so he's tinkering between the thought of being a Wakefield and a Castleford fan.
But he thinks now, because Bradford won at the weekend, they're going to win the World Club Challenge next year. So.
Right, so he's got a lot going on up there, hasn't he, really?
Oh, yeah,
He's thinking out the box a little bit.
I like his style. You can have two teams. This is what I said about football. I was a Liverpool... Manchester and a Leeds fan, but I'm strictly Leeds because of the last two shows. Well, look how good that's going.
They drew at the weekend, mate. After coming, they were 2-0 down at half time, they've managed to come back and draw 2-2.
I want wins, mate.
Don't we all?
I want productivity.
But he needs to become a Cass fan.
Go on, give it to him.
Right, well. You just have a look. It's actually going to be quite bad.
This is going to be bad, man. I can't wait for this.
How good the atmosphere. Does he really want to be going down to Wakey and stood there with a measly 4,000 other people supporting Wakefield?
Does he
really want to come support a team that's got 8, 9, 10, 11,000 down, depending on who we're playing, down here at a packed cast ground watching last year's league leaders? Mate, he's got to become a Cass fan. He's got to do it. And I tell you what, if he becomes a Cass fan, I'll give him a signed ball.
Oh, he's bribed.
I'm done.
I knew you deserved the bribes. If you're listening, rate that performance pre-bribe, because I was thinking 5 out of 10, but then you promised a kid a ball, a signed ball. Obviously, you bumped him up. No, you've bumped him up to a 9 out of 10. I'd jump ship for a signed ball. Call him up. 6-year-olds have mobiles these days. Get him on the phone.
We're putting it on eBay. That's what he'll be doing.
He's a smart kid.
he could be a Cass supporter after all.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get him down there. He loves his rugby. He loves play. He's only started in playing, but he just tackles everything inside. Very good. He could be the new Adam Milner.
Yeah, Paul McShane with that.
He could be the new Oggy Holmes, couldn't he?
He brushed me then, didn't he?
Yeah. Well,
he really brushed me aside.
Adam and Macca make the best tackles. That's a fact around Weldon Road.
Oh, it's a disappointing fact.
The Ginger Assassin, nowhere to be seen.
No. Who's been calling me a Ginger Assassin?
Me, just then.
Is that your new...
That was my compliment to you.
I'll take it. Yeah, that's how we compliment each other.
It was
going to
be Ginger something else, but we're on radio.
he puts an insult in there with another good word.
lots of people have asked us, Yorkshire Pros and Ian amongst them, about the Chris Houston affair. He's got a 2-game ban for battering Phil Bentham at the weekend.
Right. I don't know if anybody's seen this. I mean, I've seen it myself. And apparently a lot of people are saying it's deliberate. I mean, I'm rather on the case of not deliberate. I don't know anybody, apart from maybe Gazzock, who I think when he did it had a fair bit of intention to go after referee.
I haven't seen the incident, but I think if they're on the pitch, they're fair game. I remember about 10 years ago, Tony Carroll in a Brisbane Broncos game at Suncorp, a ref ended up falling over and Tony Carroll's got the ball and he's tried to jump him and he's kneed this ref and sent him into oblivion. He knocked him out that cold that they'd stretched him off, so, and he got no weeks. And he kneed him in the head. He jumped him. He tried to hurdle him. So I haven't seen the house thing, but 2 weeks, where, is he dead? Is the ref dead?
No,
he's not refereeing this weekend.
Is he out because of the incident?
Yeah.
No way.
He's only doing video refereeing this week. So
yeah.
What?
No,
they put him on light duties.
Yeah.
HIA.
Which is very. They're not really light duties, depending on how the game goes.
Head impact test.
Yeah.
He's head on the ground.
He come off.
It wasn't over that bad. Sorry, mate. You deserve it.
It didn't look as bad as him coming off with. But I mean, he's running to the back of him.
Houston,
whatever you want to say his name is. He's running down, he's looking, they put a kick up, he's on kick chase, he's running down, and he's got his head up in air, looking at the ball, stretching of the ball. And as he's done that, his right shoulder's run into him.
Has he deviated his line at all?
He's not run towards him or anything like that.
He should have ran a little bit further over and he would have got done for obstruction instead.
But he's got a 2-game ban for this. Now, I don't think... I mean, we just have chose not to appeal it because they know that they're just not going to get anywhere with an appeal. But I know that surely they're thinking that this is just ridiculous. Because I don't think there's any intention of him doing it. He can't see him, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know anybody that would intentionally do something to a referee to injure him and take him off the field.
No.
I mean, they're only going to replace him with a worse referee, aren't they? So...
Well, he's on light duties this week, isn't he?
So, I don't see... There's got to be some...
Giving him the cream.
Common sense that's got to come in and say that, look, it's an accident. Accidents happen. Yeah, it's not the best of situations, but you can't ban him for 2 games.
Well, they have.
Well, they have, yeah. But I don't agree with it.
Go to your players' union rep and say, change this rule now.
Well, I suppose
fair
that
game
is...
for referees.
No, there's bigger rules to be changed before that one. But, yeah.
What else are we changing?
Well, the new structure, or a proposed new structure, has been leaked to... Is it Sun
it's
newspaper?
Sun, yeah, I've got the Sun, yeah.
It's been leaked to the Sun newspaper of a two-tier Super League of ten teams in each Super League. And then there's a promotion relegation into that. But then below that, second tier Super League,
which is League One,
which is then going to be like League One, is not going to be funded.
Yeah. So it says here Super League, this in yesterday, Sun, could be cut to 10 clubs and a second tier formed under controversial new plans. Top Flight Outfits had been expected to approve a 14 club league from 2020, but the Sun Sport has learned of another proposal that would see two 10 club tiers. All central funding would go to those 20 teams, meaning those outside would have to find money for themselves or die. Two clubs would go up and down between the tiers. So,
well, they wouldn't die, would they?
Well, if there's no money, I guess they might do.
Well, I'm guessing it. Obviously, they're going to have a staff and everything like that. So if they get relegated from that second tier, then all their funding is going to be cut. So how many people are going to lose their jobs in that time?
Mm.
And there's going to have to be a massive swap round in players, because I'm guessing players that are in that League 2 side at the time that'll be their primary job because they'll be full time, I'm guessing. And then going down, it'll obviously be cut to part time because there'll be no funding.
So, just for intensive purposes, what two teams would it have been this year? So, two teams from the Championship, would it?
Yeah, so you've got the top. I'd imagine how the would work it is it'd be the top 10 teams at the end of this year would make the first sort of tier, then the second tier. It'd obviously follow down like that, and I've heard that apparently New York would be thrown into that mix, wouldn't they? So somebody's going to have to miss out there. So I don't know who were sort of the bottom teams in Championship last year. You'd have to see
what
that is.
If that comes through, you're going to annoy some people, aren't you?
Well, I don't think it's fair. But I think the biggest problem with it is that you're going to cut funding to that to that League One. I don't think you can't cut the funding just because you brought in a new structure in place. You can't just say, right, well, you've made it, you've not, we've cut your funding. It's completely out of their hands.
It'll become a situation where your Bradford Bulls will just annihilate the other teams in the competition. Your York and that, even though they're not massively funded as opposed to Super League and Championship, but on a League One scale, they will just crush other teams because they're going to have 10 times the money.
So if you had two tens, we've got 10 in one division, who would be the top 10 in Super League?
Yeah.
The bottom two in Super League, who were...
Widders and Cat... No, it wasn't Catland.
Whiton?
Widders, Cat...
Two of those, anyway.
Well, that was a £1 million game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Widders... Warrington was down there.
Lee, of course it was Lee.
Yeah.
Then you got Hull KR, London, Featherstone and Halifax were the top four in the Championships, and that's... six teams, so we've got to find another four, but one of those is going to be New York.
Yeah, so three more.
Toulouse, Batley and Sheffield.
So the ones missing out are
Dewsbury, Rochdale, Swinton, Oldham and Bradford.
I mean, mate, that's a big list.
Try heading to Oldsall Oval and telling all them that you'd be lynched on the field.
This is what I mean. It can't, whoever's sort of come up with this idea of it being no funding for that league, what anybody in that League One side. I mean, what's the swap round after the first year of that sort of structure being in place? So you get promoted, you go from part time to full time, and then that team getting relegated will go from full time to part time. It's just madness.
There's pros and cons, really. If you look at it at the top, if you look at it at Super League and Championship for the top teams, right, there's going to be more money for. I don't know, new ideas, new things, better facilities, better players. You're going to keep a nucleus of players and probably interest some players.
Yep.
We could finally maybe compete with outside offers instead of just losing them constantly to Australia and things like that. And so there would be pluses. We're sort of just drilling on the negatives because obviously you don't want to. No one wants to see people demoted to that. Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a bit madness. It just seems like they've come out with this structure and just plucked it out of thin air and just thought this will do. But we're talking hypothetically here. We don't know how true this is it? I mean, it could be.
I guess you players will find out the same time everyone else might.
Yeah, I mean, we never get told anything prior to anybody else. Anyway.
And when would you do it? Like, imagine winning the £1 million game this year and still being told that you're still going down, because that's how it would work, right? Yeah. Then two would go down. That's a rough gig.
What's your thing? No one knows. We don't know. It's almost 7 o'clock. Should we get to your exclusive interview?
Yeah, if you want to chuck that on now.
Here is an exclusive interview with Castleford's flying winger, top scorer in Super League last year, the one and only Greg Eden.
Right, first interview of the show. We've got Greg Eden with us here, mate. How are we feeling?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I've had a weekend off now. We're back in training today and, we're looking forward to playing Hull.
Very good, mate. Right, we've got... I've got a couple of questions here for you. We'll just see how we'll take them as they come and see how we get on. Right, first question, mate. You pulled your hamstring for 15th time, so what's going on with that?
It's just I'm like a racehorse, I know, on these crap tracks, and that it's a bit too muddy for me. I'm slipping all over the place and I think I'm just too fast for the ground that we're playing on at the minute.
I'll back you up with that. You've got a fair bit of pace about you, haven't you? And it's these muddy pitches, like running around in a cow field, isn't it, at a minute? Right, question two. Who would you have an haircut off? Because we've got a couple of barbers in team. Who would you rather have an haircut off, Jamie Ellis or Adam Milner, and why?
Right, well, I've been letting Ads do mine for the past year or so now, and he's been doing a decent job, but Jamie Ellis, I've done a few. I've seen him do a few last couple of weeks, and he's absolutely butchered him. So I'll be staying far away from him. But you know, he's only learning. His kid is getting there.
So,
I won't be guinea pig.
Yeah, no, I definitely won't be getting one off him. I ain't got really much to play with up top here, so can't be letting a trainee get hold of anything like that. Third question, mate. You've lost a grand final on a Saturday. Car and quad got nicked on Sunday night. Was going to Dublin on Monday the right move?
Probably, yeah, I think so. It was just, you know, it just something to take his mind off it, especially me with all that crap going on in them couple of days. It was just, you know, it were a good time to just get away and, you know, have a drink with boys and take my mind off it, really. Sort it out all out when I get back.
Yeah, because I can remember on this when we were sat in taxi on the way from Dublin Airport into town centre, and you're there, you've just got your head in your hands just going, why is it always me? But what sort of happened with that then? Did you get your quad or your car back?
They ended up finding my car, but it were writ off to so it weren't drivable anymore, so I ended up getting paid out for it, and quad thing's still going on. They like my ass, this insurance company, so it's just been taking forever.
So inside job, gotta be. Question number four. We know you've been single for a while now. Is there any plans to settle down?
Yeah, I'm just looking for the right one, you know. It's just don't seem to jump out and smack me in the face yet, but you know, I'm sure it will happen. But you know, I'm knocking on the door of 30 now, and about 3 years away, so I reckon that's my target. By the time I'm 30, I'll have a nice bird.
So you're planning to settle down in the next 3 years. So ladies, if you're out there, you've got 3 years to tie down Mr. Greg Eden. Good luck with that one, yeah. Number five. So how many times have you filled up a petrol car with diesel?
First for everything, mate. I've always had a diesel car, and obviously when my car got stolen, I've trekked myself to a petrol car, just not thinking one day like the dizzy man I am. I just filled it up with diesel in my petrol, and even though nozzle won't fit, I'm trying to arrive it in, and I thought, I can still get it in here. I just carried on, and I didn't just put a tenner's worth or a fiver's worth in it, a full tank, and it just ruined my Christmas as well.
Because it is a quite a difficult task to do that, to get one of them diesel nozzles into a petrol car. So you've not done too bad there, I don't think. A couple more questions for you. You've bought an Octo for £800 recently. What sort of state is that in after we dropped it four times? And have you managed to fix that crack that we're on inside?
Well, obviously, yeah, you are one of the top lads and helped me out trying to shift it. Took about eight of us doing it. I don't know how we did it. We scratched it, broke all sides. Since it's been in my garden, I haven't touched it since. I looked at it, so I'm hoping Fares will come and fix it. But no, I filled it up. It looked like it had a little crack in it, but it's sweet, mate. It's not drained or anything like that. So,
well, there you go, ladies. He's looking to settle down in the next 3 years. He's got an hot tub in back garden now. So if that's something that tempts you, get in touch with him. And finally, we'll finish with a serious one, mate. Finally, what do you reckon to the World Cup challenge? Do the Aussies take it seriously? Now, we know you've played in one for Brisbane, so I just want to know your thoughts on it.
Well, when I played in it, it was for Brisbane, and we came over here, and to be honest with you, it was took quite seriously with underway, and he, as much as I thought it weren't took seriously before I ever went out to Oz, it was surprisingly how serious he did take it, actually. I think they'd lost to Wigan previously in a couple of years before that, and they didn't want that to happen again, and luckily we got that win, so yeah, they did take it quite seriously that time. But you know, I think they've got they always play one game before they come into it, so they use it kind of as a trial game. But you know, with quality they've got out there, and especially if they're playing in Oz with that kind of weather, I think it's just bread and butter for them. They just thrive on it. So yeah, they did take it seriously when I played, but we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens in the next one.
The Big Sports Breakfast on Proper Sport.
Join me, Darren Harper and Sam Bridges every weekday morning right here on Proper Sport for the Big Sports Breakfast with some of the biggest names in sport, biggest sporting headlines and big tunes too. It's the only way to start your day on app, online, on Proper Sport. It's the Big Sports Breakfast.
Sport, sport, and more sport. It's the Big Sports Breakfast on Proper Sport.
This is Proper Sport.
We're sending Ollie on a media training course. So your first interview, how do you feel that went, man?
I'm quite happy with the results of it. You know, Greg won a top spot in answering questions that we put to him. He didn't get to see the questions before we asked him as well, so they were all a bit of a surprise. But yeah, you know, he's a good sport. He's answered them in good humour, and I thought it went pretty well. You'll have to let us know what your thoughts are on it. Let us know if you think I've got a career in interviewing folk.
I can see you one day on the telly. One day they'll all retire and they need someone to take over. You could be there, sat next to whoever's doing the TV coverage on the BBC. You could be there, sat next to Jamie Peacock.
Well, you know, if BBC, if you're listening, yeah. I'm always available.
You don't have the white wardrobe for BBC, mate.
No, I do admit that. They'd have to give me a bit of a fund to... That's dress myself up with.
And that you need one of Gailey's hair transplants as well, by the looks of it.
Do we have to bring this up now? I'm glad this is streamed.
I'm just saying, you're underneath a couple of lights.
People can really have a look and pick me out of party. Camera's quite close.
Well, that's thin. That's hanging on.
Right, let's just wear scrum cap, the cheaper.
Well, yeah, they are I mean, Jai's had a fair... I mean, that's the first time Jai's listened to that interview as well.
I don't know if you can hear me, but I was cracking up. Only because Greg's tried to sell me a hot tub for $400.
So, how many people were involved in the moving of this hot tub, then?
He put on the group, in a group chat of the day, saying, lads, could really do it in hand moving this. I bought an hot tub, I could really do it in hand moving it from Aquif to my house. So I've turned up on one at morning throughout week, and there were about eight of us, and we've got this trailer from one of the sponsors in his pickup truck, and he's got a trailer. We've drove through. He didn't even know where we were going for a start, so we got lost in Badsworth or somewhere miles away from where we needed to be. Anyway, we stumbled across it out of just pure luck, found the hot tub, and we had to get it onto the back of this trailer. And I don't know if anybody's ever moved an hot tub. We emptied it as well before anybody starts being clever and saying you need to empty it first. We emptied it, but those things weigh a ton. So we got it on back at trailer, we got it back to his house, and to get it into the back garden, it was not the easiest of plans, as he had a tree in the way to start with that we couldn't rip out at ground anyway, even though we had a groundsman with us. So we've got it off back of this trailer after about 25 minutes of trying to figure out the best way to do it without smashing it all to pieces. Anyway, we got it off by smashing it all to pieces. Got it into back. We just got a bit fed up of it towards the end, and we just went, right, that's it, just roll it in, and we just managed to get it in, put it down, and it didn't look in best nick by the time we finished with it.
Mate, he tried to rope me into it. I had my young fella, fortunately for me, because I know Greg Eden, and pre-planned things just don't happen. So I knew that was a disaster.
It wasn't the most pleasant of mornings, and he says, oh, I'll shout your breakfast. So I want someone shouting bigger than breakfast after that, because that would have a fair effort, and it was quite annoying, to be honest.
What, full English?
Well, I'd love for him to drop in I'd take an Eggs Benedict off him.
Oh, you haven't got it yet?
No, I ain't got it yet, no.
Oh, you're never getting that, mate.
But it better do.
So you've not learned the Scully's trick of just naming lots of cafes just so he gets free breakfast.
Oh, is that what he does then?
Well, what do you think I've been doing with fish and chips for 3 weeks?
Any free fish and chips?
No. I'm paying full price.
You're on the front of putting in a poster holding up the fish and chips.
What's going on here?
So, yeah, that's the story with the hot tub anyway. I mean, I'm really glad he roped me into doing that. So that's how I managed to be able to rope him in to get that interview. Wow.
Tip for tat in this.
Yeah, swings and roundabouts, isn't it? Well, I mean,
Chris has described you as the new Parkinson. I'm assuming he means Michael. I hope so.
I'm hoping so, yeah. I like it. I'll take that call. He's a legend, is that bloke.
What? John says Michael Parkinson. It's like one of our top interviewers. You know, like Dave Medner-Reffin, should not be the obvious example. Paul Hogan. I can't think of any other Australians.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
It's like it was here.
Yeah, I know.
Take custom made Forex.
Political correctness these days, eh?
Man, it's everywhere. You gotta watch out for it. They're at every turn, corner. They're at every sidewalk.
John says you're as good as Zig and Zag.
Zig and Zag? Who's Zig and Zag?
Do you not remember Zig and Zag?
Am I missing something?
On the Big
here?
Breakfast, they were these two mad Irish puppets. They were alien puppets.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's have a look at this. And this doesn't sound too promising.
Zig and Zag. What, like, Zag? We're talking like Ben and Jerry.
Oh,
Feng and Shui.
Look at these two here.
Yeah, there you are.
Oh, Jay and Silent Bob.
Wait, which one's me? Which one's Zig and which one's Zag here?
Yeah, go on, John. Let us know.
Go on, yeah. Well, I'm guessing he's going to go with the one on the left with the ginger hair.
I don't know which one's which, actually. I think that's Zag with the...
I'm the one with the headphones, because look, I've got these headphones. They're not even plugged in for the second week in a row.
Wonder if anybody... We're waiting to see if anybody noticed that Jay's headphones weren't plugged in.
I just do this for the... You know, it makes me look a little bit more professional. That's like this empty cup of coffee I've been drinking for the last 10 minutes. Oh, there's some in the bottom.
Are you wanting another cup? Is that what you're saying?
Do we have that sort of service?
Tom will go get you another, if he's listening. He might not be listening.
He's probably not listening. So, yeah, which one am I, Zig and Zag, and which one even is Zig and Zag?
Yeah. Well, I'm not too sure, actually.
Were they good at interviewing?
They were okay.
Oh, he's here! You wouldn't believe it. Mate, you're
on. Go on, a cup of tea, mate, please.
You're getting overtime for this. I'm peaking on radio right now. This is as high as it gets.
Someone's just come in and
got me a coffee. Tom's just come in and got me a coffee.
It's nice of these guys to write my resignation letter from Glasgow.
Rich is kind of nervous.
Yeah, it's been nice working here. Well, I'll listen to you. They know it's all in the best possible taste, as they great.
Oh, it is. It's all in good fun. We don't mean to offend anybody. No. If we have offended you, deal with it.
Yeah. Well, let's offend America by hearing their national anthem.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so twilight's last gleaming.
I think that's as much as we can take.
Yeah,
that's Fergie.
Yeah,
off of the Black Eyed Peas.
Fergie, during the NBA All-Star game recently, has come out with that. Oh, wow.
And it gets worse. If you haven't...
If you've got
time after, obviously, we've finished at 8 o'clock, if you've got time to go and just have a look at the full clip of that, and you will see, just towards the end of how bad she starts singing it, all the NBA All-Star players just start giggling and laughing at what she's doing. And she's genuinely happy with the performance that she's put in there.
Yeah, the worst part is she's got her eyes closed for most of the performance, so she comes to and thinks that she's killed it, let alone everyone else thinks she's just killed a small animal live.
Yeah, so what I mean, it's as bad as it gets, and she after I was pretty sure that she come out and issued an apology,
which everyone does. We're going to be doing the same after this show.
Yeah,
an apology for
so we might be able to take a few tips on this apology. So I'll read you it outright. She said, "I've always been honoured and proud to perform the national anthem, and last night I wanted to try something special for the NBA. I'm a risk taker artistically, but clearly this rendition didn't strike the intended tone. I love this country and honestly tried my best."
Trying's not always good enough, though, is it?
No, it's not. And that was as bad as it gets, wasn't it? It's on the big stage as well. Well, most national anthems are, but you know what I mean? Like,
Well, I mean, they sing national anthem for absolutely everything, don't they?
In America, yes.
Yeah,
and how many times has it gone that wrong?
No, not many. If you can bet on the national anthem as well, which I mentioned off air, whether it goes 2 minutes or not. And unfortunately, they weren't doing odds on whether she butchers the national anthem or not. Because, God, she did.
Well, I mean, it's a bad rendition of it. And the fact that all the actual players of the NBA has stood there towards the end of it and all just laughing at her. And she's come to at the end of that, like you said, she's opened her eye, finished her rendition of it, a terrible one at that.
Yeah, and she said, "Let's play some basketball."
I mean, this is a sports show and this is a sports game, so, I mean, that is one of the... Is she still part of Black Eyed Peas? Because if she is, she's been sacked.
No, she's not. They've split up ages ago now. Will.i.am's doing... Will.i.am, I don't listen to his music, but he's been doing his own thing for quite a while.
So I mean that is as bad as what you'll ever. I mean, it's cringy to watch, especially coming towards the end of it, because you can't even tell it's a national anthem anymore at a certain point, because she's took it that out of tone. I've just no idea what's even going on with it.
Where was everyone else? Why did they get Fergie?
Oh, running. Why Fergie? The hills. Oh, you mean other singers? Oh, I thought you meant the audience.
You remember that song she did, London Bridge? That was
That's one.
The one. Yeah, it was dreadful.
Oggy, you finished the rest of that?
No, I can't. Please finish.
No, I don't know it. hey, speaking of America, let's talk about something serious for a second. What is it? 30th high school shooting in America this year.
You just can't comprehend the numbers, can you?
No. Donald Trump's come out, I think they had 360-something last year, 30 this year alone, and Donald Trump's come out and said that it is about mental health, not about gun reform.
The problem is, we in this country, you in Australia, something happened in the past, lots of people die, we ban guns.
Exactly.
And, you know, it doesn't happen anymore.
No. Doesn't take a genius to realise that gun reform was what's needed. However, Trump being the biggest receiver of NRA funds ever for a president... Oh, pause. My coffee's here. No, just to stay on that, honestly, like...
Cheers,
man. How can't people see... But the weird thing was, I was speaking to Augie off air about this... I was reading some forum about gun reform and all this and all what's going on, and someone from America has commented on it, and it was a top comment, and it had 7,000 likes that said, people that think this is a gun problem are crazy. This is clearly a mental health problem. And I just thought, I felt like my mind was falling out of my ears. I just thought, what is happening in the world? How is this not a gun problem?
I mean, it is a gun problem, isn't it? If you look at it, and look at all the other facts, like you said there, horrific incidents have happened in the past in certain countries, and then they've gone, right, no guns, that's it, you can't have a gun no more because nobody can be trusted. And it happened, and I've seen a video of some Australian dude interviewing somebody from the south in America.
Yeah.
And he's saying to him, guns are bad, we had... something bad happened at Port Moresby in Australia.
Yeah. That was our last shooting.
That was the last shooting, I think. And how many people died in
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many people died, but we banned guns straight after it, and we didn't have another mass shooting since.
And he said this to him, and he went, well, yeah, but that's only one mass shooting. He says, we had one every year before that for about 17 years or something daft like that, and then we eventually said, right, no more guns.
Yeah.
And then there hasn't been one since. And this guy, this American, couldn't even compete. He was just not having any of it.
It's because the Second Amendment allows them to bear arms. That's the whole problem here, isn't it? The Second Amendment, right? But what sort of world do you live in where a kid can't go buy alcohol without identification, but he can go buy a semi-automatic weapon at 19? What are we doing here?
Well, there's some banks in America where if you open up an account, you get a free gun.
Yeah.
Free gun.
And this is not funny, but it is funny.
And this is the mental health. Yeah, this is the mental health problem. No way. No way. I tweeted Donald Trump directly. Well, he's a tool, isn't he? Will I say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's not here, right? Unless I get extradited.
I mean, when the floor's open, if he wants to reply, he can come on.
But he should
get him on the show next week, Donald Trump.
Okay. We'll talk about mental health.
The amount... It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Mate, it's crazy. I think, like... I can't even fathom how bad it is. Like, it's not just the fact that they don't do anything about it. It's the fact that so many people in that country think that guns aren't a problem. Like the Second Amendment allows you to bear arms, but when that was made, they were putting gunpowder in a long barrel rifle. If you were doing that, then all for it. There'd be no shootings. Because they'd take one shot, everyone would run away, and they'd stuff gunpowder down a barrel for the next 15 minutes, showed up, and no one would be there.
It's your point, though.
But we're getting semi-automatic off the wall. Like, when you're going into Walmart, you can buy a hot dog and some clothes for your kid and a semi-automatic high performance grade military weapon. Nah, give me a break. Give me a break.
People argue the fact, saying that they need guns because instances like this keep happening.
Yeah.
Say, well, I need a gun to protect myself in case something like this happens again.
And that's the logic. That's the full logic of America. I need a gun. Why? From other people with guns. Oh, sweet. All right. I give up. I give up on America. I've been arguing this for years. I'm a bit of a weirdo. I get on these forums and I argue. But I'm giving up. 320 million people. We should put the ban on them.
You're one of those people who post on internet forums.
Yeah,
he does. He goes online.
Do you go on the rugby league ones as well?
No.
Awesome.
Only when Cass is playing.
He writes on from anonymous accounts and picks himself up.
Well, mate, someone needs to get through them. What are they doing? What are they doing?
Let's go from the ridiculous to even more ridiculous. You can buy guns in America, but what can't you buy in this country at the moment?
Well, by some strange happening and ridiculous situation, everyone knows that KFC has run out of chicken. Can we just, for a start, without even going into the details of how this has happened, it has run out of chicken. The only thing it sells is chicken, and it has run out of and there's 575 stores out of 900 in UK that have closed due to no chicken.
There's an epidemic, but their ice cream machine's working. What? 575 out of what?
Around 900.
So in the whole of UK, there's what, about, I'm not good with math, 315 stores open. Castleford Escape is one of them.
Yes,
They've got thighs, dumplings.
So you can go to the Newcastle Tiger shop and then go and have a KFC.
And go and have a KFC. Yeah. If you're craving a KFC that bad, get yourself to Escape, go into a cash shop, spend a load of cash, and then go treat yourself to some boneless banquet.
And enjoy it. No, walk away from that store with that greasy drumstick and know that not many people else are doing it.
There you go. And what is actually the reason behind it? Do we know?
It's an operational issue. Supply chain.
So the switch changed its delivery to a contractor, DHL, which has blamed operational issues for the supply disruption. Earlier, a KFC spokesperson said, "We anticipate the numbers of closures will reduce today over the coming days as our teams work flat out all hours to clear the backlog."
That's some guy's job. That's some guy's. He hasn't worked a day ever, and today's his day. He's the spokesperson for when KFC ran out of chicken. They say, "John, we need you, mate." He just comes out the front and says, "Yeah, we're out.
And we're all out. All hours. Yeah. Trying to rectify
Where's this chicken coming from?
I don't know.
Is it in-house? Is the chicken from the UK?
Each day more deliveries have been made. However, we expect the disruption to some restaurants to continue over the remainder of the week, meaning some will be closed and others operating with a reduced menu.
Yeah, can I have some chicken? We ain't got no chicken. Can I have a corn on the cob, though?
Yeah, you can just get a box full of sides. Coleslaw, gravy.
Well, that's a gravy again.
Beans. Potato and gravy and, the cob.
Chips.
That gravy's nice, though.
Yeah, it is a good gravy.
With chips. You could get just the chips and gravy special.
Yeah, chips and gravy, but can you imagine walking away from KFC with no chicken?
Not the chips and gravy.
I wonder if they still line it with the grease paper.
What, just for chips and gravy?
Yeah.
Possibly for the gravy spillage.
Well, you never know. They could have just borrowed some from McDonald's.
Well, this is what Mackie's off the road is just all
McDonald's have got heaps of chicken, don't they?
Just going apparently, to buy all the chicken 100%. Selects and move them over. Yeah. the same one.
It's just all because
they recipe. Secret recipe.
We're onto something here. The phones are going off the hook.
Right, KFC at Castleford is still open. Is that KFC chicken? Because there is a McDonald's in walking distance.
Call us up.
I am sure it will be.
Have you been
50 yards?
Have you been to the KFC chicken in Escape recently? Because let us know what it tastes like. Does it taste like a McChicken?
Does it taste like some chicken selects?
See, we've gone to war on Donald Trump, and now you've upset two of the biggest companies in the world now.
Good.
In McDonald's and KFC.
We're here to bring everyone down. We are
We're
a voice.
Taking names.
We are a voice for the people over here on the Oggie Holmes show.
Oh, he's really bitter about this one, isn't he? We'll have to rectify that for next week, because he's not.
Well, no, now you brought it up. I'm filthy about that. But next week, we've got something special for you. We're going to be called something completely different.
But we'll still be on at 6 to 8 on Tuesday.
And the jingle will still say the Ollie Holmes show.
Yeah, straight after that, we'll do our own introduction. I'm going to come with my own introduction next week, all right?
We'll get Fergie to do it for the Black Open.
Yeah, we don't want to butcher the listeners.
I now want KFC and McDonald's, which is bad times.
Yeah, it is bad times that that's
but it's all out. Exciting. So I was looking at the what you can buy from the Castlewood Tigers shop, and we need to find out if any of our listeners have ever bought or been given the Castlewood Tigers aftershave, because we need to know what that is like.
Right, well, I've never had me sniff around it. I've never had a whiff of that aftershave, so I don't know what sort of quality of smell we've got going on coming out of that little bottle right there.
I want to know which player it smells like.
Have they based it on a player and said it is like smelling the Garden of Eden, Greg Eden?
Well, the Gadwin Springer.
smells like Pirelli.
You can't say that, can you?
What? It's, right. Gadwin, I highly doubt we'll be listening to this show.
Yeah, no, we've got it's in French. It's in French, the show.
Bonjour.
What I'll do is I'll just Wednesday, knock though. It up in a proper Yorkshire accent so he really can't understand this. Gadwin Springer smells horrific.
Oh, no. Well, I didn't say it.
He's back training now, so he's probably going to come.
I guess he's going to beat you up now, isn't
he? Yeah, he's going to come looking for my head, but that's nothing that I'm not really used to before.
Yeah,
but I doubt that he smells like...
Someone surely bought this. Is it definitely in there?
I've seen it on the online shop. I went on there earlier.
Fragrance. Yeah, yeah. Does it say what it smells like?
Well, I don't know. I'll find it for you.
Right, yeah, has it got a description of a smell here? Because I'd like to see who's got... I don't know who has come up with the description of the smell. I mean, it'd be quite interesting to know.
Imagine if it's a big sellout. If it just goes global.
Well, yeah, now we've promoted it on the show. Everyone might go...
How much is it? Is it £15, I think you said it was?
I'm slightly concerned you can buy boxer shorts, which I'm slightly concerned about. But
Pre-worn,
yeah, I think, yeah.
Well, you probably make some money off that, don't you?
Match-worn boxer shorts, you can buy them.
There you go, you can get a bath time gift set or an aftershave gift set.
So it's £15.
Shower gel.
It comes with aftershave and shower gel for £15. Yeah. Look at that little thing. Wow. Look at that.
Get yourself down there, me. I'm just about to run out of Head and Shoulders. Hey, speaking of Head and Shoulders, how haven't they come up with knees and toes for kids?
Wait.
It's just a mad slogan, isn't it? Head and Shoulders, like, it's an adult wash, right?
Yeah.
A body wash. How haven't they come up with knees and toes for kids? As like a... If you're on the marketing team, honestly, I'm only a phone call away.
I was once in Normanton. I went onto the market and there was a stall there selling perfume. And the perfume was Take Me Out Perfume, based on the hit ITV dating show.
This is quite recent. They must have been quite recent.
Why would anyone want to smell of... Take Me Out. What would Take Me Out smell of?
Of desperate women and Paddy McGuinness. Surely. That's what the show's based on. Desperate women.
I almost regret not buying it. It was £1.99 and I regret not buying it just to see what it was.
Yeah, just to see how bad it smelled.
I went to Turkey last year on a cruise ship and I went through this street and there was a shop called Genuine Fake Watches. And they were actually more expensive than the normal fake watches because they were genuine fake.
Genuine fakes, that's what we like. There's a lot of lads at Cass that wear genuine fakes. Watches.
Jamie Ellis.
I wasn't going to name names, but Jazz just dropped him straight in it.
He's copped it tonight, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's copped it in an interview. I haven't.
It's only alleged, we might add, that he shops on the fake side.
Yeah. Hopefully,
none of your teammates are not listening.
I'm not really looking forward to going into training tomorrow.
Milo listens. How are you, Milo?
He does like listening to me. Milo always comes up with us after every show.
Yeah.
Right. In the next couple of days, he'll come up with us and he'll pitch some sort of idea to us or some subject we can cover.
Is he
going to
come in?
About.
Are you going to get him in as a guest?
No, because we've talked about this before. Yeah. He's somebody you ring on a night when you can't get to sleep. To send you to sleep. So the last thing we want to do is get... Do you know what? We'll do an interview with him if he'll do one, which I doubt he will now because we've just...
We're going to start. We're going to introduce it, aren't we? We're going to bring some people on the show.
Yeah, we're going to have people actually coming in.
What do they think? Who do you want on the show? I'm talking... Are you introducing the next week's guest?
Have you already got a guest for next week?
Well, we've got something maybe in the pipeline. I don't want to sort of say it and then it not happen.
No, you already have.
We have got somebody that wants to come in and do the show.
Yeah.
I don't know how quickly or how soon it will come in, but, I mean, the guy's... he's recently retired. He's top of his sport. And I've heard he's a champion bloke in... Shall I say? I don't know.
Yeah, say it. He said he wants to come on.
He has said he wants to come on. Ryan Sidebottom, the cricketer, has said that he spoke to Andy Lynch. Andy Lynch knows him. Lynch is old. He knows everyone.
He knows Moses when he parted the sea.
So Lynch has got in touch with him and he said that he wants to come on the show. So... In the next coming weeks, we may have a legend of a cricketer
excellent
on the show.
Stuff. When I was a student, back in the olden days, so it's black and white, we used to go out on a Monday night in Wakefield because I was a student, right? You know, Buzz in Wakefield?
Yep.
every Monday night in Buzz, there was a certain international cricketer, naming no names, yep. don't know, throw him under the bus, and at least three Bradford Bulls players.
Really?
All there. Throw them under the bus. Every Monday night, student night, pound a bottle, all there.
Lynch, you dirty dog.
Oh, no, he wasn't, not Andy Lynch. No. Oh, it's before he was.
Maybe guy. Andy Lynch, maybe not.
might have been some brothers and a bloke who's a coach now. Every single Monday night.
Well, and do your math on that then, folks. Yeah. See if you can work out them three, because I'm brothers.
Oh, it's difficult, isn't it?
Brothers. Oh. Ex-Bradford players who were brothers.
Yeah. Who could they be?
I don't actually know. Should I know? I should know, shouldn't I?
I don't know. I don't even know any brothers in rugby league.
Griffin brothers?
Oh, yeah, well done.
No, I was trying to think of any others.
Tompkins brothers? There's three of them.
Yeah.
Brothers.
Griffins, Tompkins. That's about it, isn't it? But there is brothers in there. So yeah, I can't work out that. I can't. I should know that then. I'm guessing the way that you're looking at me.
Well, Henry and Robbie Paul.
Oh,
Leon Price.
I was going to say that. I was going to say that. I didn't even know he has a brother.
Every single Monday.
Who, Henry and Robbie Paul?
Well, no,
I was going to say Robbie Paul, and I didn't even know he had a brother. Imagine that.
Hey, they're all coming now. Ben and Kieran on Facebook. They all.
No.
They might have been there on a Monday night.
So Ronnie Booth has come out. a lovely description of a smell. Odour of a jockstrap. That's up there. It's a fair description, that one. I like it. But whose jockstrap are you talking about, Ronnie? Whose jockstraps have you been moving around and smelling?
We have jockstraps, American, eh?
Yeah, it's more of an NFL thing, isn't it? Or
what is it? Is it like a...
Like a cup, innit?
Yeah.
So it's like half cup,
like
half underwear.
Like a tricky thing, yeah.
Just in case.
It's got nothing on the back end, though.
Right.
It just sort of comes underneath your legs.
Yeah.
Well, business in the front, party in the back. So they say.
So that is a guest that we've got coming on in a couple of weeks. Like I said, we're going to get. I think we're going to try and interest Tony Marchant to see if he'll come on. You know,
Tony's already said he's down. 100%.
So we're going to get him down. He's obviously, for you Cass fans out there, he's won a Challenge Cup with Cass.
101 tries he scored for Castleford.
Doesn't like to bring it up, though.
Hey, don't get into him before the show, mate.
Yeah, we go about this all the wrong way.
No, don't put me in the wee category. It's the Oggy Home Show. You go about this the wrong way.
Oh, I like
upset
to see
all the potential guests.
Throw me under a bus right there.
Yeah, what else we got? Pet hates. Let's talk pet hates.
What are your pet hates? People slurping drinks on the radio. That's my thing.
Can you hear that? Can you hear that, listeners?
It's a microphone. It
I apologise, but
do.
I...
It's an amateur. It's amateur hour. Welcome to the amateur hour, folks.
Yeah.
You're on the programme and everything, dude.
All right, pet hates. Listen, this is what I hate. I don't know if it's a courtesy thing, but where I'm from... you don't do this sort of stuff. One is when they do let you in traffic.
Right,
not
explain
waving.
The situation first.
No, I'm explaining one tiny pet hate into my bigger pet hate.
Okay,
and people don't wave when they've let you in.
Oh yeah, okay? agreed.
Hate it. Okay. The second one.
This is when you're driving, by the way. This is not in any other walk of life. This is when you're driving.
No, any time if I wave to someone and they don't wave back, I'm filthy. So you're driving down just a normal one lane each. Someone from the opposite side of the road tries to enter coming your way, right? So they block traffic on their side and then assume, because they've blocked everything up, that they should now block your lane up and just enter. And they just look at you and stare. Mate, that's not my responsibility. I've got the big wide world out here. I'm trying not to crash. I hate it. It might be small, but I hate it. It might be pedantic.
Well, that's why it's called a pet hate.
But I hate it.
Well, is that your only pet hate?
No, I've got a few, but I can't think of all of them right now.
Right, what am I?
Are you wanting the listeners to join in with this?
Yeah, let's
I want pet hates.
Let's see what your pet hates are out there, because I bet there's some strange one that's knocking about. Let's see if we compare somebody up like with Jai. Let's see if we can find somebody that shares the biggest pet hate.
I thought you were going to say you're going to try and find Greg Eden, the partner, earlier. But
ladies, if you're listening,
show, a future show,
and you're interested in Greg Eden, please get in touch. It's like blind date.
Whatever woman comes up with the best pet hate gets a date with Greg Eden.
I think you've broken your microphone. It started buzzing. I'll come around and fix it while Ollie tells us something.
Right, so yeah, I'll go on to what Jai said there. Whoever's got the best pet hate,
you will get a date with Greg Eden. Now, on this date, we don't know what you'll be doing. We don't know if he'll take you for food or you can go around and chill in his hot tub.
Am I back on?
You are back on.
He's back on. We don't know if he can go around and chill in his hot tub, but let's see who's got the biggest and best and funniest pet eight, and we'll see if he can get you a date with Greg Eden. I mean, it can be male or female, so, like, you know, we're not picky. Neither is Greg.
I'm back. I'm back on the air.
It is warm in here, fans. Maureen says, people sitting in the middle lane on the motorway not overtaking.
Yeah.
That's me.
Well, you do that.
Yeah, I
do. So you're moaning about people's driving and you're the one causing problems on motorways.
Well, they're not going the full speed limit, do you mean?
Well, no, I'd imagine this is where people are in the middle lane not overtaking anybody on the inside lane.
No, I don't do that.
Then people that do that and just sit in the middle lane when there's nobody even in the inside lane, you people are a joke.
So, whoa, wow.
They're a joke. I mean, so if I'm travelling on the inside lane and I've then got to go over two lanes to overtake somebody just sat in that middle lane just doing absolutely nothing, it is just ridiculous. I don't know how they can think that, but sat in that middle lane not overtaking anybody is acceptable behaviour.
Howard says they're coat hangers. I don't know why. I don't know what's wrong with coat hangers.
What, just that's it?
That's a pet eight coat hangers.
He's one.
Definitely the strangest.
What? He just hates coat hangers.
Rachel says cars parking on the path and blocking it so you can't get past.
See, I have people around near where I live get a big issue about this because there's a school near where I live, an infant school, so years 1, 2 and 3, and people who are going to drop the children off at school who have got then younger kids in prams and have to go, a car squeezed by the car on the path and they have to go round the car on the road. You see this on Facebook all the time.
Oh yeah, Facebook's great for this. It's moaning all the time.
You're telling right now something that's already happened to me, okay? So I live in Cass, where I live. It's only a really small lane, and there's a school at the bottom, okay? And I got told this happens before it actually happened, but then it happened while I was trying to park, okay? So it always happens to me. It unfolds right in front of my eyes. Anyway, I got told that people walk past with prams, and when I park too close to the brick wall, they can't get round, they have to go on the road. So I did this, right? And a lady came and she stopped, stared at me, and she just looked at me with this dirty look, and she'd had to walk around. And I was like, any more? If I give you any more, I'm on the road, okay? So the school bus comes down this way often. I don't know why. I don't know why they haven't learned, okay? I went to the shops with my missus the other day. I'm coming back. A school bus is there, okay? It just honks the horn until the person's car needs to move a little bit closer, okay? It just stands there. That's how I imagine the school bus horn sounds. It just honks, okay, the whole time until someone comes out of the house and moves their car. So this time, no one's come out, right? It's a little blue car, a little blue, I don't know. Whatever it was. I've honked about 5 minutes. No, it's blocking up the street. I'm the first person in line to get my parking spot and I can't do it, right? They load all the school kids off the bus and they left, and the busies had to reverse back down the street.
So where did all school kids go?
I don't know where they went.
They're leaving school. So they've got to walk home.
I don't know. Well, they have to organise different transport. They're roofless around there. That's what happened. Isn't that crazy? Just honked until someone came out and moved.
And then when it didn't happen, they just kicked everyone off bus. Surely everyone he's off. Got to have got sacked, that bus driver.
Everyone off, they said. He was looking around, he said, is it your car? I said, obviously not my car, I'm in my car.
Right, people don't clean up after the dogs. I mean, that's a bit standard, isn't it, really? I mean,
that's bang on, but...
Yeah. I mean, that's... Especially if it's... on a public path,
yeah,
and stuff like that. I mean, how are people even getting away with that these days?
You got two dogs, Oggy, so yeah. Have you ever done it? What if both of them are gone at once and you've only got one plastic?
You always have more than one plastic.
Oh. You're an organised man.
Well, yeah, you think.
I always have a pocket full of them. It's always a pleasant thing to do as well. The people were moaning about
it. What do you do if it's early on in the trip? Like, you've got a good 1 mile walk, do you just put it in your pocket or something?
No, you just... like put your hand through hoops at top and just
and
swing it about for a bit, yeah.
And you see how the dog walkers and you both go, hey, with just
people just carrying
of
bags of poo around all day, yeah. Well, not all day, like they don't get home and then take it out with them, but yeah, they carry it around till they can find a bin.
There's a plastic poo epidemic at Pontefract Park.
on the trees. People throwing them up in the trees.
Just launching them in the trees.
Just in pond and everywhere.
Yeah, what else we got? Anything else? Come on, it's got to be something.
Someone women covered in tattoos. Don't agree with you, Ronnie.
Do whatever you want.
Don't agree? You're a tattoo lover.
Well, I like tattoos, yeah, but I mean, if a woman wants to get a tattoo, who am I to say no?
People don't like it, mate. It's too revealing, some would say.
Which, well, where are you looking at this tattoo?
Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah, I was a bit sumptuous, wasn't I?
Yeah.
So I jumped the gun there, Ronnie. What's his last name, Pickering?
Ronnie Booth, I think it was.
It was.
Nige Bennett's coming and said...
That's just turning to people's problems with cars and vehicles and driving around, isn't it?
Yeah, so Nige Bennett's come up with people who block garages up because they think they can only use the pump at one side. The hose does reach around.
Well, back to Greg Eden's petrol disaster.
Mate, how did he even do that? How did he... Because petrol to diesel, the nozzle doesn't fit, right?
Yeah.
Danny Solomona did this as well. Oh, there, I said it, the forbidden fruit.
Who?
No, yeah.
That's a snake.
The thing is, how do you do it? Oh, talk about things we can't say on radio. yeah, like, how do you do it, though? Because you have... It doesn't... It's not a matter of it even going into the socket. It's like a... It's a block in a block. I mean, yeah. No, it's a block in a triangle. A block in a block would go straight through, right? Yeah, I should have known that. I just got me a kid a puzzle for Christmas. Yeah, so it just... You've got to hover it over the hole and then just squirt any excess in. And Greg's actually filled his whole tank.
I'm guessing he's a new Audi S5 or something like that, so it's going to have a fair tank on it.
I reckon
well.
He should be praised for filling a whole tank with something that doesn't fit.
It takes some doing. I don't know, I didn't go all over his feet and all over the side of his car and everything, because obviously it don't fit. And like Jai's saying there, he's going to have hovered it right over that hole that he doesn't fit in and just aimed it. He's got a good aim.
He's got a great aim. Got a great aim. Alright.
You know, you're sitting around watching the telly and you're watching the football or whatever on Sky. Do you ever get annoyed and think about kicking your telly when they show that Ida with Daryl Powell and you lot standing around and Leeds holding the trophy up?
Well,
every single time it's on.
What, the Leeds lifting the trophy?
Which as a Wakefield fan, I'm sick of seeing Leeds lifting trophies.
Well, I mean, we were there to see it live, so it's a bit easier watching it on TV rather than it is stood there in person straight after the game to watch it. But I mean,
I haven't even seen it. Have you watched a replay of Grimfield?
No, it's not even. It's just on like adverts
before every single program.
I haven't seen it. But I've been tagged in a couple of pictures where I'm just got my head down. I don't want to see none of it. Have you rewatched the grand final?
I watched it.
Have you?
Yeah, I watched it.
I haven't watched it, mate. I haven't even seen nothing of it.
I watched it pretty soon as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people in the team said they don't think I'll ever watch it.
I don't. I can sort of understand it a little bit because, I mean, it is a bit of an horrible memory.
Horrible.
But I wanted to watch it just to... I don't know. Just I was intrigued more than anything just to see... How badly we got everything wrong.
Pick apart. Well, just to pick apart your game like you would, like if you watch any game you play.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough watch. What'd you rate it on the ITMB?
What, the game itself?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a terrible game.
If you had to make other people watch it, would you give it good raps?
No. No, I wouldn't make anybody watch it.
No. I don't think. Yeah, like that's a one in a lifetime. Opportunity to play in a grand final, and I don't think I'll ever watch the game. Is that weird?
No, I don't think it might be. It might seem weird to people who aren't involved in it, but for there's a lot of lads in team that said they don't think they'll ever watch that.
It's just something that I don't want to. Like I went through it once. I'm not going to sit through it on my couch in the comfort of my own home.
Well, I mean, it's a bit far gone to do it now. I think it was still fresh in my memory when I did it, but. I mean, everyone's different, aren't they? People might want to watch it and just sort of see what went wrong, and I don't know, some people take it harder than others. It's all a sort of a bit personal, isn't it? And a bit whoever takes it what way.
Yeah, well, you want to preview this week's games? We're going to preview the games.
See, we never got around to talking about great toilets of the world, did we, sadly? But
we've got... Jai, you can tell a story about toilets of the world in a couple of minutes.
What? Oh, toilets of the world. All right. When do you want it?
Now.
Toilets of the world. No. We're talking off...
We're talking off air about the Winter Olympics, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I said I've been to Seoul. In South Korea.
Which has got nothing to do with the Winter Olympics, by the way. It's on Pyeongchang, but never mind. Go ahead.
Whose segment is this? whose segment of the Oggy Home Show is this?
J-Shocks, mate. The floor's all yours.
So the one thing I thought about South Korea, and I've also seen it in Switzerland, but mainly on South Korea, is this the advanced technology that they have. So I've gone in to use a public toilet, which I don't like doing, by the way, but I had to do it anyway. I've walked in and there's a bit of a line to get in there, and it was just an orderly fashion. It was just all very strange. It was not like your normal public toilet situation. But anyway, there's a button to get in, and it looks like sort of a spaceship and just opens up. So what's happened is the doors have opened, the guy before me's left and whatever, we shared that awkward eye contact and that weird thing that happens when you enter a public toilet. But anyway, I've walked in and
he's absolutely gone here.
It was pristine. It was pristine. You can eat food in there. So what happens is you leave the bathroom, okay? The door's shut and water gets sprayed everywhere through these toilets, right? It just soaks the joint. This is what I'm assuming happens, right? Because when you open it, there's drying water everywhere. So the doors are closed, water gets sprayed everywhere, everything just gets wiped down clean. Then these lights come on and heat everything up. So you've got about a 30, 45 second gap between each user. And you walk into a situation of dreams for public toilet standard.
So, and this has happened in Switzerland as well?
Yeah, I've seen it in Switzerland as well.
You've travelled a fair bit, haven't you?
Yeah, 30 countries, no biggie.
Oh, not that it's counting. So 31, these, so, and how is there a time limit of how long you can spend in this toilet?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know if there is a definite time limit, but there's definitely buttons you can press to make it go longer. But the one thing I'll tell you is, people that have never used it don't know how to use it properly, and it just opens. Like, my mate was in there, and he was having a whiz, and we can say whiz.
You can say whiz.
I'm cautious now. He's got me cautious. Can we say? So I'm having a whiz, and my mate's having a whiz, and the door just opens, and everyone can hear it because it's like a spaceship. Opens up, and he looks back, and everyone can see him, obviously, and he's just standing there, not got his pants to his ankles like kids used to do, but yeah. Nah.
He just got revealed like a prize on a game show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very nice. Yeah,
he won a Winnebago. He won a Winnebago.
Right, before we got Jai's story time of public toilets around the world, we're going to preview this week's games and
give it a hot tip.
A hot tip, I guess. I don't know if we can give hot tips.
No, you probably can't, actually.
No, but we can
give my predictions.
You can give our predictions of the games, but we can't give an hot tip.
See, what you should probably do is tell one of us the hot tip, and then we can say, I've got a hot tip for you.
No, we can't do that.
We can't do anything here. No. We can't do anything.
You can't do that either.
I'm going to give you my predictions. I'm not a mind reader.
So Friday night, we have Huddersfield Saints.
Which is live on Proper Sport.
Live on Proper Sport.
Hear the game.
I actually watched the Bradford York game on Proper Sport.
You can't watch this because we haven't got the rights, but you can listen to it.
So okay. Well, who we got? Who we got?
So you got Huddersfield St Helens. Who are we going for?
Okay.
It's at Huddersfield.
Okay, that didn't change my mind too much, but I'm going to go for Saints.
Yep. Are you putting scores in there?
Yeah, I'm going to put scores in there. I'm going to say a steady first 20 minutes, and I'm going to unfortunately for Huddersfield, it's going to blow out. I'm going to say 28-8.
28-8. Warrington Wigan. Or do you want me to give my prediction?
What are you just putting me on the spot here?
Do you want me to give a prediction?
Of course
I do. You've gone 28-8. I'm gonna go for the Saints win as well. I think I'm gonna go 24-10. Not much difference in a couple of goals.
It's all right.
Do you want to chuck in a prediction?
I was going to go for Saints, but I don't know what scoreline. Probably by about 16 or so.
Right.
About 16.
Next game, Warrington Wigan at Warrington. That's live on Sky Sports.
Well, Warrington not been
Wigan travelling back from Australia as well.
Yeah. I predicted at the start of the year that Warrington would go quite well. I put him in my top four predictions when we did an interview at the start of the year. So I'm still sticking by that. I think they've got a few new signings. It takes a while to gel sometimes. They've got a few Aussies come over. That takes a while to gel as well. I'm going to say Warrington in what would probably be a bit of an upset, I guess, based on previous form, just recent form.
Score?
Yeah. 2016.
I'm going to go Wigan 14-10.
Yeah, Wigan by about 10 or so, yeah.
Is this going to become a little in competition here?
Yeah,
in radio competition.
We can mark this down. Right, Salford OKR at Salford.
Salford KR at Salford.
I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to go long way to travel for OKR. That, you know, all the way full length at M62, pretty much. I'm going to go. I think it'll be a close one. I'm going to go draw 16-16.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was tempted by the draw in this one. They are two very similar-ish teams.
Yeah, I'm going to go draw 16-16.
I'm going to go KR. I think KR's playing pretty decent footy. I think they're going to do it by 8. KR by 8.
Yeah.
Draw.
I'll go Salford by 2.
Salford by 2, right. We obviously can't do our own game.
Well, see, the great thing is, of course, he's on TV, isn't it, on Saturday?
Yeah.
So you better have good performances, because I've got the R-League app, so I can vote for you for Man of the Match.
Oh, yeah.
So we spoke about this last week.
Yeah, we've got to get in that. Yeah, we've got to get in that.
We've got to play good for 65 minutes.
Yeah. You've got to do something on
this. As long as we play well for the first 65 minutes and get into that form, we've got Rich betting on us.
say to all the, you know, all the flashy lads, just calm down.
So leave it till last 15. Let me and Jai run this first 65.
Save it.
So we'll go the other game that's on a Saturday, Catalan Wakefield over at Catalan.
Mate, Wakey's been playing good footy. Backline's looking sharp. Catalan's,
again, struggling,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how they got some great players. I don't know how they're struggling.
Well, they run Saints close, didn't they? Oh, what did they? What did you say? It's Catalan's gone on.
No,
they blew out, didn't they?
I'm gonna say.
It's about having a man sent off for dropping something.
As a rugby league fan, I'd like to see Catalan win, but I think Wakey will come home with the chocolates.
I'm gonna go. What are you gonna do? Score?
Yeah, 2010.
I'm gonna go. Wakey win 18-6.
By about 14, I think.
Yeah, I think that'll be the close game of the round.
Yeah,
for a long
that
period.
And the,
for
the a good Salford 65 minutes. OKR game. And last fixture, Widnes leads at Widnes.
Without players who've hit referees.
Yeah, he's a big player for him as well as Houston. He's banned for 2 games for knocking over a referee by accident or purpose.
As I was pointing out earlier, Luke Gale got the same ban last year for touching one on the shoulder.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not.
So it's licensed for you to just think, shall I tap him on the shoulder? Shall I push him out?
Yeah, if I'm looking for a 2-game ban, which way am I going to do it? Tap a ref on the shoulder, I'm just going to absolutely wipe him out.
Well, mate, you do what you like.
Can you imagine if one of us wiped a ref out this week now?
Yeah, 15 weeks.
after saying it on Tuesday.
Premeditated.
Yeah.
Leeds
travelling back from Australia, Widnes. Yeah.
I'm gonna go. Is that Widnes?
It's at Widnes.
Yeah. Houston, big loss. Is it Houston?
Houston. Either one. Houston. Everyone knows what
Houston,
we're about.
Big loss. But I'm still gonna. I'm gonna go for an upset. Yeah. I don't know how many injuries and knocks Leeds have got. Mm. I know they had a couple of concussions. That young fella didn't come back on. I'm gonna go 16-12 Widnes.
16-12 Widnes.
Oh, Widnes.
I'm gonna go. No, I'm going to go Leeds 2012.
I think Leeds will win just about. It's interesting because they missed all those forwards last week, didn't they? So it's interesting to see if they have any of those back this week.
Yeah, they didn't take a full squad over, did they, to Australia?
Do they want to risk them on the pitch and all that?
Yeah, well, I mean, that 4G pitch, if that's what it is called, is not a fan of ours. We'll probably discuss this on the next show, how good that 4G pitch is to play on.
No one likes the pitch apart from Widnes.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's one big grass burn.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's not really even a grass, but it's one big plastic burn.
One big rubber burn, as there's little black rubber balls all over it, which stay with you for the week. You're rolling over in bed and you just wake up in the morning with a gob full of them, thinking, what is going on here? How's this even happened? But it does happen. God knows how they actually train on it and play on it every day. The house is just going to be full of these little black balls that cushion the feet when they're running about.
Well, when you've got your players' union set up, see, this is the other thing you can moan about.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He's going to have a tough job in it, Cavs, running that union.
Mate, they've launched that, haven't they? He's going well. It's going well. I've signed up.
Yeah, well, I think majority. Well, I think every player that the visit.
Then she pressured me to sign up.
Did you? Well, would you have done it anyway?
Got your best interests at heart, then.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. That's your player welfare manager doing a good job for you.
Great job, Lynchy. No, he's doing a good job, mate.
He is, mate. He's a good lad. Is Lynchy? He's old, but he's a good lad. Think. I wonder how many old insults I can get into every show, Vander Lynch. Three from three a minute.
Well, fingers crossed, you can try again next week from six on Tuesday.
Yes,
we're just about done. I can't believe it. It's almost flown by. My career has.
Time flies when you're having fun, mate.
It has. So you've got Hull this week. Did you have a good week off? Did you do anything exciting?
Well, we had that team drink on the Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Which were good fun. We had a tough week's training.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. That Friday session was... you weren't there, but that Friday session was quite tough because I had to do it twice. It was
a bit of a touch-up in fitness on the field, I think. I was at funeral, so I managed to weave my way out of a tough session somehow.
Mate, I'll tell you, it wasn't very easy. There's a few of us that did it a few times as well. No good. But we're all primed for Hull, aren't we? I think looking back at the World Cup Challenge, they probably performed the better of the Super League teams.
I think they've picked up a couple of injuries while they're over there, but yeah. I don't think that's going to take away how they're going to play. They've got some gun players of all, and you know, they're a side that's challenging every year, so it's going to be a difficult game.
Well, I will look forward to watching it because I'll be watching it on the telly. But of course, everyone should go down to the Menhose Jungle because it's always a great atmosphere against Hull and their army of zebras coming across.
Yeah, they always bring a decent contingent over as well.
Get yourself down to the bit of footy.
The home of rugby, the other home of rugby league, the Menhose Jungle.
Correct.
The league leaders shield winning Castleford Tigers.
That's a mouthful.
It is.
Bang.
It's good I'm paid to say this. Ollie, Jai, thank you very much. Well, next week the show may well have a different name, so join us next Tuesday when I won't be here, but these two will, as will Danny Parkinson.